much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is going to be an awesome matchup, and it's going down right now, ladies and gentlemen. Grab your popcorn, have a seat, let's do it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, f***ing moron. Did you enjoy the f*** out of yourselves at your f***ing concert? Gee, I sure hope you f***ing did. Hopefully that's the last f***ing Weenie Rose concert you ever f***ing attend. F***ing morons. Your comedy ain't worth f***ing idiots.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
Well, four now.
And now.
Joe Rogan, no disrespect to you or the 16,000 people in this arena, but I have a message for one man.
Beer Mug.
Get your together, I'm waiting for you.
Our feature presentation.
That'd be awesome.
I would pay to see that.
And you're querying in Beer Mug.
Right?
That'd be great.
America's dreams would come true.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Tuesday, the 26th of May.
Well, party machine today? who's in?
I'm in. No.
That was fun.
The problem with that is that when it's done, it has to be the weekend. So, I mean, we could do it today, but then we're off.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. For like, that, it would hurt to realize it was Tuesday. Yeah.
You gotta come back.
How was everybody's weekend?
Very good.
Excellent.
Do anything fun?
I went to Seattle.
How was that?
Was
Chip?
It so fun,
it was
Chip?
So... Didn't go. That's actually, right, because being invited, I forgot being invited actually, you to Seattle to see
guys,
the, that, everything that was going on there.
That didn't.
The Sasquatch Festival was awesome.
Did he take you to his Denny's?
Guys, that didn't happen.
And IHOP and catch IHOP. That fish when they throw it at
guys,
you?
Guys, I canceled
that's
that.
That's so
that,
cool.
That didn't happen. Chip didn't come up. We canceled the planned trip, so she wasn't here this weekend.
Oh.
What? Look, you either gotta go for it or not. I mean, don't.
What?
That's not okay.
Kind of weak sauce. We've rescheduled for 4th of July
sure.
weekend.
So yeah.
Trip is coming. Although I'm usually pretty tired in July.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, I got a choice for you. I can't decide between these two stories to get us going on this Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. You can have the Australian woman who breastfeeds her daughter who is 6, or you can have the Muslim televangelist who has set the Turkish social media aflame with his views on masturbation. So it's your choice.
I'm going to go neither.
I'm not positive that was a choice.
Is that, no?
I don't
okay.
think.
How can you not be interested in either of those?
I like televangelist.
All right.
Of course you do.
Allie, what do you think?
I'll go with that one.
All right. Here's a televangelist whose name is Muchaid Saeed Khan. He was doing a program on May 24th, so this past week, when he answered a viewer's question on his television show. The viewer had written in and said, "I keep masturbating even though I'm married. What should I do? How can I stop? What are your views on it? What does the Quran have to say about it?" Well, the televangelist claims that Islam strictly prohibits masturbation. And says that those who have sexual intercourse with their hands will find their hands pregnant in the afterlife.
And then, do you have a baby or a little hand?
Well, that's unclear here.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
He says, according to the Prophet Muhammad, you will find after you die that your hand will be pregnant. It was very, as you can imagine, it was not a well-received point of view. Not all experts in the Quran agree with his interpretation of the text. The televangelist said, if our viewer is single, I could recommend that he marry, but what can I say now? Apparently, the Quran has no clear reference to masturbation, and the authenticity of his interpretation is questionable.
Your hand gets pregnant.
Yeah. Now, how would that? That's a great question, Kevin, is how would that work? I mean, you're getting pregnant by yourself, so there's no sperm and egg situation here. So you
right.
can't be making a baby. But I also don't know.
So then you have three hands. Maybe that's a bonus. You know?
If I sell gloves in the afterlife, I'm making a killing.
You are a business.
Right?
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, I guess if it's in the afterlife and it's God's will, I mean, I guess he could do anything. He could give birth to porcupines if that's what he decided he wanted to do. But it is an unusual interpretation. He, by the way, has more than 12,000 followers on Twitter. He has been mocked after newspapers published his interpretation. One Twitter user wrote to him and said, "Are there any hand gynecologists in the afterlife?" And another pointed out that, "So you think being pregnant is a God-given punishment?" And he was surprised that anything involving pregnancy would be considered a negative, too. So, look, that's no crazier than a lot of things that we've seen televangelists in America say with their interpretations of the Bible, right?
I don't know.
But it's
pregnant hand is out there.
Pregnant hand, by the way, should have been on the side stage of the Wiener Rose. Yeah. They are just now coming into the round. So, all right, so it looks like we'll be saving a 6-year-old being breastfed maybe for tomorrow if we have time.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeMicho, shall we?
Kevin, knock it off, asshole.
I haven't done anything
so
yet.
Really?
Daniel Cormier is going to be on the program today.
He's fighting Beer Mug, I hear.
I hear that is the matchup, yeah. He won on Saturday night.
He sure did. He sure the hell did.
Very excited.
Don't want him on top of me. I know that now.
Nope. He's a big boy.
Yep. Can't get up from that.
That's correct.
Were you unclear before the fight?
I was.
Okay.
I will tell you, though, and maybe we'll speak with Mr. Cormier about this later on today. I thought he was going to break Rumble's arm, and it would have been very difficult for me to ever get that image out of my mind. Did it look like it was heading in that direction?
Sure. A couple times.
Yeah. And B, I know that he wanted to fight in that third round. Rumble wanted to come back out, but he was over. He was dazed and confused.
He seemed like he was out of it before the second round began.
Yeah,
he's so tired.
I mean, I know that there would have been. I understand that that's what the sport is all about, and you can't just call a fight because a guy looks bad. But I was terrified about him going in for that third round. With all that, the face was all bloody and he just had that 1,000-yard stare. I was glad it ended when it did.
Yeah. He seemed like he was out on his feet. It was amazing. Yeah. So happy for Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Very cool. Also on the program today, we have the Bachelorette Report.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that was a thing that people watched last night.
I didn't read very much about it or see any of it, but I hear that last night the girls were not nice to one another.
What?
Yeah, that's my understanding. And
that's
I don't know if this is new for this show, but apparently they are not all getting along.
We are going to do a call-in topic of you did not want to meet your heroes.
Yeah.
It's a little odd in that, you know, most of the time if it's your hero, you would die to meet them. It'd be the best thing ever. But maybe you respect them too much, you have them in too much esteem, and you do not want to meet them.
Sometimes it gets real.
That's true. That is true. There's a pop radio station. I think, is it in Denver?
It's in Colorado. Near Denver, I think.
We need to work there. That's it.
Apparently it's a thing.
Harvey Levin from TMZ, as we do normally on Mondays at the beginning of the week. We have your tickets to see U2 at the Roxy. That's coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. And we have comedian Bob Saget in the studio as well.
From TV's Fuller House?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Oh, look at that.
Hey, look at those ducks.
How about that?
Overtime!
I think it was who was it? It was Frank Caliendo who commented last night that the NHL just decided that the Ducks and Blackhawks need to play a best of 15 series.
Crazy,
because there's nothing better, right?
Yeah, it's insane.
Insane.
Yeah. There's no possible way that the series ends before overtime of Game 7. I would imagine. It just seems that that's the way every game.
They're going with Game 8.
They might as well.
Add another game to the series.
Sure.
Pretty incredible stuff, though. But you don't often see a team as good as the Ducks blow a 3-0 lead, by the way.
Yeah, a hardcore Ducks fan, he said, well, that was unnecessary.
Although, Ralph, as a hockey fan, tell me your feeling on this. Because when I saw how they were dominating the first period so early, I was like, oh.
Good night.
That's bad. No, I just thought this could be bad because when you peak so
invariably,
early,
you can't hold that level of energy for an entire game. That's the problem.
And you get this little false confidence where you go, oh, we're 3 goals
you
up.
You put up the gas.
Yeah.
That's almost all the time.
It's almost impossible not to do that.
Yeah.
Well, terrific series. Goes back to Chicago Wednesday night. How was your weekend, Ralph Garman?
Exhausting, but thanks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Back to get some rest here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
I am so happy to be back. My wife's out of town, has been for a while, and so I have been a single parent for a week now. And I've said this before, and I say it every time, I have the honor and privilege of spending all my time with my beloved daughter, Olivia. I have just endless amounts of respect and love for mothers and also full-time mothers, mothers whose their only job is just to take care of and raise that kid and cater to their every need and make sure they're safe 24 hours a day. It's unbelievably exhausting, just mentally and emotionally, and your energy level, it is just, it's relentless. It's amazing, and I cherish these times when my wife, she'll take a trip like yearly with her best friend who lives in London, and they'll go off and they'll go, she's in Italy this week.
Do you want her to stay away longer?
No, oh, okay. No, that's all thing. I cherish these times because I do get just this amazing, concentrated daddy-daughter time with her. But it, by the end of the day, your ass is just beat to death.
Like, how could she wear you out? She's so much younger than you.
Yes, and it has nothing to do with her running around or being a handful or anything. She's a great kid, sweet and easy. But it's just, you have to pay attention all the time. And it's like taking the SATs all day long. You're just, wah! Can I just get a breather? No breather for you. It's a child you have to keep alive.
But isn't
get
that
back
what,
to work.
Isn't that what Frozen is for, Ralph? I thought that was supposed to be your 90-minute break.
Yeah, well, trust me. God bless Disney. They do fine work, and I have used them from time to time. But, yeah, so all weekend long we were just having a blast. But, whew! We did the zoo on Sunday.
Oh, good.
That's usually my go-to for daddy-daughter time, the zoo, because my wife is not a fan, and it's a good thing for us to do and get out, and she loves the zoo. And the LA Zoo, by the way, if you haven't been, it's a great organization, and it's a great zoo, and I know a lot of people are anti-zoo and stuff, and I can get that. I can see why you'd want animals to be in the wild and stuff, but they also do a great deal for conservation and for animal awareness, and they teach kids about animals in the wild and stuff, so there's a real plus and a positive to the zoo. And so anyway, ran into a bunch of Kevin and Bean listeners was my point, and they all say hi. But it's just, it's a great way to spend some time with your kid if you just want to get out of it. And we had it was a lovely day, and it was kind of empty because of the holiday and stuff. So,
but was it hot? Because that's your other, that's your nemesis.
No, it was nice and cool and overcast. Right. It was the perfect day. And at no time did a monkey fling feces at me. So I was,
that's what you want when you go to the zoo, isn't it?
Maybe that's what you want. I would rather not have monkey poop thrown at me, frankly. That's me, though. What do I know? So,
well,
good time.
I want you to relax and take it easy. We won't. None of us will bug you for a juice box or anything. You can actually just sit on the couch.
I'd like a juice box. That's an option.
Just as long as no one asks me to bathe you, I'll be okay.
All right. Even Allie?
Especially Allie.
Okay.
How dare you?
I don't know what's going on.
I'm very clean.
I don't want to know.
Very clean.
I don't want to know.
No need to bathe me.
I don't know what's going to float up in the water. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, right? Who's with me?
No. Nope.
Although it's Tuesday, it is the long weekend. Of course, we're coming up the long Memorial Day weekend, so we're taking a look at the weekend box office. A lot of people thought Tomorrowland, the new George Clooney Disney film, speaking of Disney, would be number one. And it did, but it just eked out a narrow win over a second week of Pitch Perfect 2. Tomorrowland debuted with $41.7 million in what is being considered a lackluster opening Memorial Day weekend for that film. Pitch Perfect 2 came in with $38.5 million, so it was neck and neck there for the one and two slots. Mad Max Fury Road was third with $32.1 million. I'm guessing that pulled a lot of money away from Tomorrowland because they have similar audiences. The same with Avengers Age of Ultron, which was fourth at the box office with about $28 million. And is this possible that Poltergeist debuted this weekend?
It did.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to that film. It kind of snuck up on me. I didn't know it was coming out this weekend. $26.5 million.
We covered that in the movie beat on Friday. Oh, wait a minute.
We were party machine.
The party machine on Friday.
No movie beat.
Yeah. Hot Pursuit was sixth. Far From the Maddening Crowd was seventh. Furious 7 was eighth. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 was ninth. And then Home, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box.
How many weeks has Paul Blart been in the top 10?
Shut up. You're not making it any better.
Insist that there's a third movie.
You're not making it any better by pointing it out. Can we just move on? Can we just pretend it's not happening? No, it's good fun. A glass hit, fat man.
That was a very clean piece of glass, though.
It was. It was very clean. He couldn't see it.
Sad news over the weekend. Ann Mira, probably best known these days as Ben Stiller's mother, passed away at the age of 85. However, those of you with a little bit wider scope may remember that she was half of the legendary comedy team of Stiller and Mira. with husband Jerry Stiller. Stiller, of course, went on to a successful solo career as Jason Alexander's dad on Seinfeld, and also in King of Queens, he played
that guy's
not his dad, her dad.
Oh,
Leah Remini, dad on that show.
I don't know who any of those people are.
You don't know who Leah Remini is?
Oh, Scientology.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay.
Now and King of Queens, more to
sure.
what we're discussing.
Right.
Now I saw just a flicker of light behind those eyes. but if you're not familiar with their work, they were truly one of the great sketch comedy teams.
Genius.
Genius stuff. It really holds up. Go back on YouTube and watch some of their stuff. Just really, both of them, great actors and funny, and they wrote their own stuff. Just an amazing duo.
And boy, she had a hot voice, didn't she?
Not so much.
Really? Back when they were doing the duo thing? I thought she sounded incredibly hot.
Really?
I thought he was kidding at first.
No, I wasn't. Mm.
She's got like a hardcore sort of Brooklyn accent.
I thought she sounded sexy.
I'm sure you're talking about Anne Marie. You know who Anne Marie is, right?
Yeah, I know exactly.
He knows.
Who
she is. That's
Speaking of Beans Creepy, Taylor Swift's Bad Blood video.
Yeah.
You've seen this video. It's awful.
Not
video.
Seen it, no.
Awful video. It's just Taylor Swift and about 400 guest stars running around in leather pretending to be in a Quentin Tarantino movie. Well, a lot of the clothing worn in that video, the costuming, came from a sex shop called The Stock Room here in Los Angeles. Production company spent about $13,000 on fetish gear from that place.
Can you imagine being that guy? All right, I need $13,000 of stuff. Okay.
All right, well, anyway,
where do we start?
I need a leather codpiece with some spikes on it. Most of the actual items were loaned.
Oh.
From the stock room.
What?
For the production, and then returned to the store. And ever since news broke, an executive from the stock room says they've been getting nonstop phone calls from men looking to buy the items that were worn by Taylor Swift.
Bean,
stop calling them and bothering them.
I only called one time and left a message.
Store says they will not rent or sell items that were specifically loaned out to Taylor because Bean is gross.
It said that in the story.
Yeah, it says it right there in the story. Weird. Seen that video?
I've not seen that video. No. Is there? There's no reason for them to be there. Is that your complaint?
No, nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
It's just you don't know what's happening. It's supposed to be a story, but you can't figure it out. And it's just a series of cameos. It's Lena Dunham smoking a cigar and just people walking, nodding at each other. It's just horrible on every level. Today's celebrity birthdays: Matt Stone. You remember him? He created South Park.
Yes, he did.
Along with his buddy Trey Parker. He's 44 years old today. Are we still calling him a Tratton May?
We are,
still
a
thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unfortunately, that's always going to be a thing.
It's Tratton May. Or
it is Tratton May.
Or is it May and Trat? I can't remember. It seems like just yesterday, if Chip could find the tape.
Yeah. Allie, have you heard that moment with?
I have heard it, and I'd love to hear it again whenever we all get it. I mean, it would be great.
It'd be a thing. Maybe, maybe next show, really? Bisbee, we'll get
maybe next hour.
Good.
Because it's only a four-hour show, Chip. Helena Bonham Carter is 49 years old today. Singer Lenny Kravitz turns 51. Singer Bobcat Goldthwait. I love the Bobcat.
He's not really a singer as much as he's a comedian.
What did I say?
Actor and director.
I meant singer Lenny Kravitz is 51. Director, actor, writer, comedy legend Bobcat Goldthwait. However, have you heard him sing? It's awesome. We on this guy returning. Never heard that? We've had that clip all the time of him singing, don't we?
I don't think that's him.
Hank Williams Jr. is 66 years old today. And Stevie Nicks, actor, director, writer Stevie Nicks.
Nope.
No, she's
a
singer.
Singer.
That's right. No, I'll get it. She's 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We would like you to join us Thursday night at the Roxy to see a little band called U2 performing live. You cannot buy tickets to this show. You can only win them. We will tell you when to call in, but it won't be too long from right now, coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. You know, I think about this a lot, Kevin. What's going to happen to all the AM radio towers in this country? Because it's getting harder and harder to get people to even go to that dial on a radio.
Right.
You know, anyone under 40 didn't even grow up with AM being a thing in most places in this country, so why would they ever even think to go to AM? You know, at least in Southern California, we go to KNX for traffic or whatever, but a lot of places, there's nothing on the AM. So if a lot of people are looking for new ways to make money, new formats on that, and I think we've come up with one. I think the time has come, particularly in a place like Colorado, where marijuana is legal, for this radio station to exist.
The sound of talk radio is changing in Southern Colorado, and let's just say the notes, well, they're a little bit higher.
KI 1580 is the first publicly licensed radio station in Colorado dedicated to all aspects of marijuana. So the question is, why do this?
The answer to that is why not?
An extension of SoCo Radio, it currently offers three live shows throughout the day with studio guests, interviews, and discussion about education, awareness, and entertainment of marijuana.
The stereotype that's out there about current marijuana users and the culture itself, about, you know, people think that marijuana users are a bunch of just lazy, hey bro, kind of people, and we just want to add some intelligence and some awareness on what the culture is really like.
The program director for K-High 1580 Weed Radio is named Len Williams, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Williams.
Hey, bro.
Well, Len, congratulations on K-High 1580. You guys have created quite a bit of publicity there in Colorado.
Yeah, man. You know, a lot of people are worried about what's going to happen to all the AM towers in the country.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. Those people are dumb.
I've heard that as well. Well, you gotta come up with something different, something they can't get on FM if you
want
people to check
you
out.
That's why here with SoCo Radio, that stands for Southern California. No, Colorado.
Colorado, right.
We got K-High, man.
K-High.
1580 on your AM dial. Mm-hmm. Hey, come listen to K-High, the station that calls itself K-High.
It's quite a slogan.
Yeah, we like it.
So does it get monotonous at all? I mean, is it hour after hour of just discussing weed, or is that topic so broad that you never run out of ways to talk about it?
No, man, we could talk about it all the time. It's amazing. The more you smoke, the more you can talk about it.
Right.
And we got some great personalities on the show, from what I'm being told.
The Wake and Bake Morning Show host.
Yeah, Wake and Bake, because that's a thing that people do,
right,
man. And it's pot related.
Right. That guy's name is David Diablo Rodriguez.
Yeah. I really should get two guys called Wake and Bake, I think,
yeah,
to do that
show.
Oh,
there you go. That's a show.
Instead of Diablo. Doesn't make any sense at all, man. Hold on a second.
Oh. That's legal, I guess.
Now it makes sense.
You've got the High Noon with Bubba Cushman show.
High Noon! I just got that!
And then the High Drive at 5 is your afternoon
high
show.
The High Drive!
Apparently you're...
How did I come up with this stuff?
Well...
You know, people say to me all the time... Uh-huh.
What do they say to you? Len?
Len. They say, Len, talk radio is hard, man, because it's just people talking. Why don't you play some music?
Right.
Okay, hi. And I said, what kind of music would we play? Pot, pot, pot music. Pot, pot, pot music. Talk about pot music.
I believe we're going to have to put you in our file.
I think so, Len. Looks like we'll be talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
I'm so stoned.
Our old friend, comedian and actor Bob Saget joins us in studio at 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got the Bachelorette Report coming up with Ralph and Petras later on. And UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier joins us as well. First, though, it's Tuesday morning, although it feels like a Monday. That means it's time to go to our friend Harvey Levin in the TMZ.com newsroom. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, sir?
It feels like a Tuesday to me because we worked yesterday.
Long weekend.
Oh, you did? You had to come in because you still have to make TV, right?
Well, no. It's the website.
Yeah, I feel like you have to work 24/7 around the clock.
No, it's fine, though. I mean, actually, you know, it's funny because you were mentioning UFC. Did you see, we put a picture up, did you see Chris Weidman and Floyd Mayweather were hanging out together?
I did see that. I did. And it made me think, what's Weidman doing?
I found it a little interesting myself. He has this very kind of wholesome image. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. On the one hand, you know, they're both champions. They're both undefeated. They have a lot in common in that sense. It just was a little weird to me.
And they both have a lot of people that vehemently root against them too. Apparently, did you hear all Did you hear all the boos Saturday night against him, Kevin? I mean, you saw him
lash out.
Quit underestimating me. You know, get on board. Get on the team. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't like that guy for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm actually surprised at that.
Not as many as Mayweather, though. I mean, pretty much everybody in the world hates me.
Yeah, that's true, too. Well, Harvey, you got some great stuff up on the site, so I can tell you we're working over the weekend. But why don't we start with Mama June? Now, you say on the site that she is talking about suing TLC for pulling her TV show. That's unprecedented.
Yeah, no, I'm not claiming it. It's true. She told us this because she feels that she was really screwed over on the, you know, cancellation of Honey Boo Boo, because it's true. I mean, when we posted the picture of her with Mark McDaniel, less than 3 hours later, they canceled the show.
And, by the way, explain to people why, Harvey, if you will.
Well, Mark McDaniel is a convicted child molester who not only molested a child, but it was June's own daughter. And
so TLC said, hey, enough of that, you're gone.
And they also said that they had plenty of proof that these two were seeing each other aside from the picture.
Right.
So they immediately axed the show. Now, she feels, right or wrong, she feels that it was ridiculous that they would swiftly cancel her show, yet not cancel the 19 Kids and Counting, the Duggar show, after Josh Duggar came out that he molested five girls, including his own sister. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the difference is that happened back in 2006. But, on the other hand, you know, Mark McDaniel in Honey Boo Boo, he wasn't part of that show. Josh Duggar is a big part of 19 Kids and Counting. And the victims, some of the victims, are on the show as well. So, you know, her point is, it's unfair. You can't treat us so differently. And I want my show back or $1 million.
Why are they keeping the Duggars on?
Well, what we're being told is that they're seeing which way the wind blows at this point. And the options are to take the show off the air, to just keep it on and weather the storm, or, and I think this is the most likely, to phase out Josh Duggar and focus more on the daughters, because the daughters are actually the ones that are getting the heat on the show right now. One of them got married, and I think another one had a baby, and they made a big deal of it, and it was kind of the centerpiece of last season. And my guess is, and this is just a guess, that they're probably going to lean toward that because the show does well, and they can eliminate and phase out Josh. And he's already moved to Washington, D.C. anyway. So they could phase him out and then focus more on the daughters.
Now, Harvey, as a guy who understands the entertainment industry, a guy who understands public relations, and as an attorney, does she have anything on her side in terms of trying to get TLC to pay her or put her show back on? It doesn't seem like she does. She signed all that away when she made the TV show, right?
My opinion, no. Yeah, she doesn't have any. There's no case here. I mean, it's up to TLC on what they want to do. If they want to cancel one show and not cancel another, it's their right.
Right, exactly. I don't think, with all these reruns of the Duggar show, though, I don't see how anyone could sit down and enjoy that show knowing what we now know about the family dynamics of that program.
Yeah, I mean, that's the dilemma for TLC right now, which is that, you know, they've got to deal with exactly what you just said.
Exactly
what you just said.
All right, let's move on. Chris Brown, everyone's favorite, back in the news. Who's he beating up now?
Well, I love this story. So Tyson Beckford posted a picture with Carucci in Vegas over the weekend. And, you know, Carucci was Chris's girlfriend, and Carucci dumped him after she found out that Chris had a baby with another woman. Chris wants her back. So it enraged Chris, and Chris started posting crap about Tyson Beckford. You know, with these kind of veiled, you know, obtuse threats. And then Tyson Beckford comes back and says, hey, you know, Vegas is for fun, and, you know, chill out, Chris. But then he posts a picture, a video of him at a firing range. And I know, I should not be laughing at that. And, you know.
But Chris Brown's a terrible person. I mean, that sort of makes it all right.
You know what's really weird, though? It's funny because I looked at a video on Friday. He's in Cannes right now, and he actually met up with Joe Jackson. He's a really talented guy.
He is.
It's really too bad because he is an incredibly talented guy.
Don't you feel that Tyson Beckford could destroy him though with one with one punch? Chris Brown seems like Chris Brown just seems like a little weenie compared to Tyson Beckford.
Well, it just depends on how I'm really into Daredevil now. So, you know, Charlie Cox is blind, but he, you know, he still is able to beat up most people.
Isn't it weird, Harvey? Do you ever stop and just look at your life and go, I know who Karrueche Tran is. What am I doing wrong with myself?
You know what? I said that yesterday. No, I did. That's so weird. I was thinking that yesterday. I thought to myself, if I weren't doing this, I would have no idea.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and you'd be perfectly happy not knowing it. Yep.
Totally.
You'd be fine.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. All right. We know you got to go.
I didn't say that, should I?
That's all right. I have one last question for you, and that is, isn't momager a negative term?
Not in Kris Jenner's world.
Tell us about her world.
Well, you know, she's the, you know, famous momager of, you know, her brood. And, you know, yeah, I think that it's used in a disparaging way, but she thinks it's also used as a way of describing a manager who manages their kids, and she likes it. And it's kind of a moniker that identifies her, so she has filed for a trademark basically saying nobody in entertainment can use the term momager but her.
Wow.
So all those people that are not trying to use it now won't be able to?
All those people who are not trying to use it, they will be sued if they do.
Harvey, was there anyone else before Kris Jenner who was widely called a momager?
The media started calling people momagers just because it became a thing, but I don't think any mom actually had the sense to use that term about
right. Gotcha. Yeah, the other moms were embarrassed that they were called momagers, but Kris Jenner's embracing it. Unbelievable. All right, TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. Of course, TMZ and TMZ Live air throughout the day on Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 3 on the Reels channel. Harvey, thank you for the time, sir. Have a great week. We'll do it again next time.
Have a good week, guys.
Thank you. All right, listen, you too, Roxy, if you'd like to go, we're going to play a game. You have to identify a U2 song. It's a little tiny clip of it, though. It's just a second. If you want those tickets, call now 1-800-520-1067. It's U2 at the Roxy, and we'll play next. They're only the biggest band in the world playing the smallest venue they've played in 40 years. We're talking about U2 at the Roxy this Thursday night. You can win your way in thanks to us here at the world-famous K-Rock. This game is called Just a Second?
Do you want the long version or the short version of this jingle?
You know what? We're running a little early. Let's hear the whole thing.
Just a second!
There you go. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Just a second. Kevin, how is this game played? We have all the contestants lined up ready to go.
All the songs, of course, are U2 songs. We're going to play Just a Second from the very beginning of a song. You just have to tell us which song it is.
So if you're one of these people, when their songs come on the radio, you know instantly which U2 song you're about to sing along with. You are well-primed to win this game. So if you get it right, you go into the drawing. Someone will win tickets to join us at the Roxy this Thursday night. Who's up first?
First, we have Joey in Fullerton. Hi, Joey.
Good morning, guys.
We're going to play the clip for you twice, and then you tell us which U2 song this is. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here you go.
That seemed like more than a second.
Beautiful day.
Nicely done. That was easy, right?
Easy.
Yeah. All right.
This is not the hardest game in the
world.
No,
it's not.
This is, I'm sorry, what's this one called again?
Just a second!
That's right.
Sean in Orange, hi.
How's it going?
Very good, thank you. You ready for your 1 second?
Sure, why not?
Here you go. One more time.
Mysterious Ways.
Yes, it is. Nicely done.
Right. 2 for 2. Well done.
All right. Let's go to Mitch in Los Angeles. Hi there, Mitch.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Mitch. It says here that your job is television. Could you please expand on that?
Let's say sports TV. Nothing sketchy. Only the good stuff.
Sports TV. Okay. Thanks for narrowing it down. Are you ready?
Right. Yeah.
Here you go. One more time.
New Year's Day.
Got some U2 fans on the line.
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's go to Jude in Venice. Hi, Jude.
Good morning.
Jude, were you on with us last week?
I did get on, yes, so I'm trying again.
You did not win, so good luck today, sir.
Allie was upset with me because I didn't say, hey, Jude.
Which Bean did I.
Which Bean did last week. Yeah, Bean did last week, but so here we go. One more time.
Pride in the Name of Love.
Nicely done.
Thank you for saying pride.
Yeah. I was very upset last week that somebody identified that song as In the Name of Love with no pride.
All right. Let's go to Eric in Calabasas. Hi there.
Yeah, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you. I mean, everybody's gotten it so far, so no pressure. And we're just playing.
Just a second.
Here's your song. One more time.
Oh, I'm going to say Where the Streets Have No Name.
No, it's Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
You will hate that song for the rest of your life because not knowing it maybe kept you out of the Roxy.
All right, let's go to Linda in Los Angeles. Hi, Linda.
I got Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Well, you should have, by the way.
I did.
Right, but that wasn't yours. You're aware of that, right?
Well, yeah. Okay. I just wish it had been.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing you'll get this one.
Okay. All right. Fingers crossed.
Here you go. One more time.
Oh, my goodness. Can I say Iris?
I mean, you can. You can say that's not correct. It's the Miracle of Joey Ramone. Sorry. Thank you for playing.
Poor Linda.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice lady who really just wanted to go see you two.
Hey, Candace.
Hey there.
Are you ready for your Just a Second?
Just a Second!
All right, here you go. One more time.
Desire.
Obviously done.
All right, pretty good batch. You want to try to squeeze in? No, we don't. All right, we got Joey, we got Sean. It wasn't quite on hold yet. We got Mitch, we got Jude and Candace all in the drawing to join us. Kevin and Bean with you two at the Roxy this coming Thursday night. Allie, only one can win. You've got the good news.
The winner is Joey.
Yay! Joey! First guy. Goodness. Congratulations, Joey.
I've only tried a million times.
So well, you I'm won, so and we'll see you on Thursday night.
Just a second!
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
Bob Saget coming up just after 7, and then at 8 o'clock this morning, Petros and Ralph break down last night's Bachelorette. I heard there were tears, Ralph. Is that true?
Oh, so good last night.
Tears from Ralph? I heard it was brutal on the show last night.
It was magical. It had everything. It had everything in it. She's a hoe bag and just guys fighting and just magical. Magical.
We often say this is the golden age of television. It the Bachelorette indeed. May be the reason why. All right, 6:51 Tuesday morning. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, how about tickets, free passes to the premiere of a brand new movie, a little film called Entourage.
Yay!
I believe it's Entourage.
I don't say Entourage. I say Entourage. Entourage is going to be in theaters everywhere on June the 3rd, but you will get to see the premiere June the 1st at the Regency Village Theater, plus a copy of the soundtrack. 5 lucky winners will get it right now. Give me a call, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First 5 callers to get through get passes to the premiere of Entourage.
It's Entourage.
I don't say Entourage. I say Entourage. You say Entourage. Adrian Grenier, Jeremy Piven, Kevin Connolly, they're all back. Vinny Chase and the boys. Oh, that turtle sure has lost a lot of weight, hasn't he?
He sure has.
He is not fat anymore. I wish Ari Gold was my agent. I'd have a very different career right now if Ari Gold was my agent.
He gets stuff done, doesn't he?
I'd be Aquaman by now. quick email before I get into the showbiz here, coming from listener Edwin, who is great, as always. And he just wanted me to pass along a message. Please thank Kevin for getting me into the Ducks. These playoffs have been been awesome. If this series comes back to Anaheim, I'd love to meet Kevin and Colin Hanks and cheer on the Ducks. Please let me know where they sit so I can shake their hands for introducing me to this great sport and the Ducks in particular. As Kevin always says, quack!
Kevin's never said
so,
that.
That's
never been said by Kevin.
After the big win last night, Kevin, you must be very excited because I know what a Ducks fan
you are. I was not excited. That was not fun.
What? What's wrong with you?
It's been a crazy good series.
Painted orange, man.
Nope.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Tomorrowland was number one, but just by a smidge. $41.7 million made it number one. Pitch Perfect 2 came in second with $38.5 million. The rest of the top five was Max Mad.
What?
Mad Max, Fury Road, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Poltergeist, which debuted with $26.5 million. Then Hot Pursuit at number six. Far from the maddening crowd. Furious 7, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, and Home, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. Dave Grohl continues to live the dream. He's just the best.
He's the best person in the world ever.
He's the best person.
Oh, Bean, is he better than Weird Al?
Oh, snap.
Conflict.
You just betrayed Weird Al. Ooh, I'm going to tell.
I misspoke. I was swept away in the hyperbole of how much I admire Dave Grohl.
Bean has many times said Weird Al is the best person in the world ever.
And I simply said Dave Grohl just was the best person in the world.
Weird Al is the best human ever.
You just said Dave Grohl is the best person in the world.
I misspoke, like I said. I just got caught up in the moment because we all love Dave Grohl.
Swept up in the hyperbole.
I did.
Said.
Yeah, I did.
As we all get. Well, it's because it's 1/5 Christmas.
It was 5/12 Christmas yesterday, by the way.
He was making fun of you. He doesn't care.
We were celebrating all around the world.
You don't have to choose between the two. You could celebrate Memorial Day and 12/5 Christmas.
5/12.
Who cares?
It's a big day. We had Christmas music going to my house all day yesterday.
You're a tremendous douchebag. So Paul McCartney is playing, you know, a few sold-out shows at the London's O2 Arena like you do. You know how you fill the arena a couple times there in London, the O2 Arena?
Sure, how many bands could do that?
You knock out a couple sold-out shows over the weekend.
Right.
And so he's on stage singing a little song called I Saw Her Standing There. You may be familiar with it.
Maybe, just that?
Maybe one of the most classic early rock and roll songs of all time. And so he's on stage there, and he's getting ready to play it. And who steps out on the stage? A little gentleman named Dave Grohl. Picks up a guitar and just starts to play the classic Beatles song with the classic Beatle on stage in front of a sold-out crowd at the O2 Arena. Who's living the dream more than he is?
Zero people.
Zero people is right, Kevin. It's kind of a shoddy video. You can check it out online. I tweeted it at Ralph Garman if you want to follow me. You can see the video of it. It's a little more impressive if you can see the visuals. But here is Dave and Paul McCartney sharing a microphone, just singing their little hearts out, doing I Saw Her Standing There. Just playing his heart, just having the best time.
Yeah.
Nobody's having a better time with their life than Dave Grohl.
Yeah, that's very true.
He likes being Dave Grohl.
He does, and why not?
I would like to be Dave Grohl, too.
Everybody would.
Yeah. And, you know, he was probably at some point, he was just 5-year-old Dave Grohl sitting in front of his record player or whatever it was, listening to the Beatles, just getting all excited. And now he looks up and he's sharing
calls
a microphone.
A buddy.
Yeah, sharing a microphone with that guy who sang that song.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Nuts.
Ridiculous.
Nuts.
Nuts. And he's the best person ever. Crushes Weird
Al. Well, he's an excellent person. Just
crushes
this much below Weird Al.
Crushes him. You got to talk to Bob Saget coming up next.
Yes.
Well, we planned on it.
We planned to.
Oh, okay, good.
Is there something that...
You guys weren't going to ignore him when he came into the studio?
I didn't think we were.
We were going to put him on the air, maybe chat.
I don't know if he feels slighted by those Olsen twins.
Oh, they're such bitches.
Who have said no to Fuller House. No, thank you. What about Michelle? What about Michelle Tanner? How are we going to know what happened with Michelle Tanner?
Were there a large amount of questions that were unanswered by that show?
Yes.
Okay.
Will Michelle Tanner ever get older?
Well, was one of the questions. Apparently she grew up and moved out of the house.
I guess she did. I guess it's an emptier house now. That's what they should be calling it. Apparently they let... The official word come out over the weekend that they will not be participating. John Stamos tweeted that he's heartbroken that they've opted out. He said, I understand that they're in a different place and I wish them the best.
They're in a place where they don't need the reunion.
Oh, come on. It's not about money.
Haven't they made like $1 billion
John Stamos
each?
Says it himself. It's not money. This is not a money gig for any of us. We want to give the fans what they deserve for supporting us for so many years, John said. We all just want to have fun, do it in a classy way on Netflix and have a good time. Sad that a few don't share the rest of the cast's opinion.
Oh.
Boom!
It's on. Shots fired.
Hot. So Stamos, throwing a little shade the Olsen way. God bless him. Right? You're with me.
I'm with you.
All right.
Oh, snap!
Speaking of Netflix... They have picked up Bill Murray's Christmas special.
Yay!
Although Bean's all douchey about his 19th 47th Christmases.
Right.
I wish it was Christmas tomorrow for the sole reason I want to see the Bill Murray Christmas special.
It's a new project.
It is a new project. It's a Bill Murray television special. It's his own Christmas special, a variety show starring Bill Murray.
There's no way that could be less than awesome.
It's only going to be the greatest television program ever in history.
Yeah, you could be right.
Bill Murray might be the only other person that loves being himself as much as Dave Grohl.
That's true.
Because they both rule, and they just seem to have so much fun.
The special, which is very cleverly titled A Very Murray Christmas. Murray Christmas! His name is Bill Murray!
Right.
And the popular phrase is Merry Christmas!
Right. I think we got it.
They're blending.
Why are you yelling
the two.
This? Right.
We got it.
Merry Christmas!
We all got the reference.
I don't think you do.
I think we did.
We'll star Bill as himself, as a guy who's worried that no one will show up for his Christmas special because of a massive snowstorm in New York City. Fortunately for him, everybody does. The guests of the show? The band Phoenix? Rashida Jones, Miley Cyrus, Jenny Lewis, Jason Schwartzman, Maya Rudolph, David Johansen, Chris Rock, Michael Cera, Amy Poehler, Paul Schaefer, and a gentleman named George Clooney will all be stopping by the Christmas special. That's who's going to be on his Christmas special. But if Bill Murray calls you up and says, I'm doing a Christmas special, I don't care who you are. You can be the Pope, whatever you say. Well, I'll be right there. I'll clear my schedule. I'll make sure to be there, Bill. So anyway, that's coming. That's going to happen. That's a thing.
That's pretty cool.
It sure is. Netflix is just winning television lately.
They are.
They're just taking all the accolades. Today's celebrity birthdays. Matt Stone, creator of South Park, along with his good friend Trey Parker. He is 44 years old today. Seems like it was just yesterday when Kevin was talking about
And
this.
Now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
Bean was so panicked, he turned to Kevin for clarification. That's how completely panicked Bean was.
I was lost. But did I help? No, I did not.
What am I talking about here, Kevin? Kevin? Hey, Kevin, are you there? Help me, Kevin!
The rule,
Kevin, help me!
The rule that has bit me so many times is nobody help the guy going down in flames.
Yeah, you don't engage.
So I was happy to just be quiet during that moment.
Kevin, what am I saying? Kevin, what am I saying here? Help me! Well,
he said Trey and Matt. No, Matt and Trey. No, he didn't even say it right, did he?
No, he never
said it. Never got it right. Both times.
Is it Trey?
Sweet.
It's a Trat and May.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this
go
is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
So, if a guy is on fire, you're to stand by holding the fire extinguisher but not using it.
Yes, and laughing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, May Stone is 44 years old today. Helena Bonham Carter is 49. Lenny Kravitz turns 41. Bobcat Goldthwaite is 53. Singer Hank Williams Jr. is 66.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if those Three Stooges are going to be celebrating that birthday with him because... You know, the Three Stooges, Kevin.
Yeah.
Hank Williams knows who the Three Stooges are.
It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu.
That's not what the one you were looking for at all.
Not even a little bit.
Not even.
No.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll find out for next time.
Famously, Hank Williams said Obama and Biden were the Three Stooges, which is one of my favorite quotes of all time.
It would have been funny to hear that.
Sure would have.
Yeah.
I would have been in support of the joke. As opposed, as opposed to against it.
There was a nice big slot of time where it would have right in.
That would have really buoyed up that
it
moment,
really would
I
have.
Think. Would have really raised it to the next level.
Would
have
been
using sound production
right.
to enhance comedy.
Rather than stop it.
Obama and Biden.
There it is.
Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
There we go. That came in handy. Glad we had that tape. I could ask for the Hindenburg going down. He would have had that at his fingertips, I guarantee you.
That is true.
Stevie Nicks, 67 years old today. She's still a witch, right? She's
she
still
is,
a witch.
Yeah.
No, I just want to make sure. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You love the damn Full House, right? I did so much family television, I have Tourette's now. You know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to put a shoebox on my lap and give you a puppet show. My dad's like, if your mom and I are having sex and we videotape it and she falls out of bed funny, can I win $10,000? The Backstreet Boys, they're f***ing awesome. And they are back and they are street and they are boys and they are men. And they rock my f***ing world. Actually, name dropping is bullshit. It really is. Quentin Tarantino told me that. He said, name dropping is bullshit. And I said, you're f***ing right, Quentin. And we were up all night in Tribeca. It was off the hizzle. Marijuana's not a drug. I used to suck for coke. Saget, you rock. You suck for coke. That's what I do. I suck
but only for Coke.
Here's the host of America's Funniest Home Videos, Bob Saget. This guy sucks almost as bad as that guy on Full House.
How dare you? That's our friend Bob Saget you're talking about.
And it's all in my own self-loathing voice. It's unbelievable.
<That's true. laughs> He is at the Irvine Improv for 5 big shows this weekend, starting Friday night at 7:30. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mr. Saget rejoins us here on the Kevin Reacher. Is this really your third visit this year, Bob?
I think so, maybe.
Why will no other radio shows have you on anymore? What happened?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the first, nobody wants me. But the first time I was on felt like two, so maybe this is
okay,
my second appearance.
Okay, maybe this is the second time.
Yeah. All right, could be. Well, how you been, sir?
I'm really good. Things are actually wonderful. The weather's been nice.
That's what I was curious about.
Memorial Day. I saw no barbecue go off. Everything was nice. Yeah, got kids good. Got a woman. She's a woman. Got a girlfriend. She's
you have to clarify that
a lady. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you Google me. You probably
<That's true. laughs>
want to do citizen's arrest.
So, Bob, when you walked in this morning, you hadn't met Allie McKay yet. And
no.
The first words out of my mouth as you shook her hand, I don't know if you heard me, I said, Bob, she's too old for you. Because I just wanted to get that out of your mind, because then you'd be distracted for the whole rest of the interview.
Well, but she seems like a very respectable young lady. And,
she
and,
is, and, but and she's still too old for you, though.
No, I don't think anybody's too old for me anymore. I'm almost at that point where anything that has a pulse, that kind of thing. So she's, no, but she's, but you're a lovely woman. I feel like I'm on a dating show.
You're lovely. Is your current girlfriend 25 or younger?
Oh, older.
Older than 25?
Months.
Our little boy is growing up, Kevin.
Pete, I met her.
Yeah.
And I
met Kevin.
This is Kevin?
What? Wife?
She's way too hot for Bob.
Oh,
really?
That's so sweet. So is your wife, actually.
Yeah.
Most people are. I love your wife, by the way. And when I say that, I'm saying I love her. I'm in love with her.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend loves your wife also. In fact, if there's some way that just the three of us can go to dinner.
It just cut me right out.
It does sound like that's happening, doesn't it?
It's going to be unlimited crudité.
Bean, can I tell you a quick story about Bob?
Of course,
went out to dinner, and at one point, my wife said, hey, that's Rod Stewart. So I turned around and I was like, Rod Stewart? How often do you see Rod Stewart in person? He was at a restaurant. He's so he's like chip size. He's like 4 feet nine.
Oh, really? I never thought of him as being a tiny little man.
So I was thinking, wow, he's a tiny little man. And I turned back around and Bob Saget was taking a selfie just with himself and a glass of wine. I was like,
oh, is that what happened?
Yes, I was like, we're all looking at him. What are you doing? He's like, I'm taking a selfie so I can send it to my friend. I was like, I'm just you and a glass of wine?
I didn't realize
what's happening.
I don't think I realized Rod Stewart was right there. That's what I think.
Because you would have put him in the selfie if you could, Bob.
Yes, but I don't usually do that. I don't usually selfie other people.
Right.
But he's
Bob,
who are you taking a photo for?
That's like, my question.
Who wants you to send a photo of you with a glass of wine?
You with a glass of wine. Like,
well, it was a you ever had wine and you go, this is good. I should try this again.
Yeah.
And that's what
it is.
That
to remind you that wine is good?
Well, when people are when you're heavily drinking, and we were not actually.
Right.
I just wanted to know what it was. It tasted good. You know, if you eat a good corn dog on Memorial Day, you want to remember that corn dog.
But don't you just ask the waiter, hey, I like this wine. What is it? Why do you take a photo
of it? I didn't want to talk to the waiter because I was too busy out of the other corner of my eye looking at Rod Stewart.
You weren't looking at Rod Stewart at all. That's the point of the story that killed me is he has no idea that all three of us are looking at Rod Stewart. He's taking a selfie of him in a glass of wine.
Wait, Rod was dressed up to the nines, by the way. He looked.
Not that you saw him, though.
I did look. And he had that high hair thing going, which is a miracle.
He's a rooster. Here's what we've learned is that Bob Saget wants to be the biggest star in every room. That's what we've learned, right?
And so I take a picture of wine to prove my strength.
Exactly.
And then he knew that he had not affected me at all, that all I cared about was the thing immediately in front.
You think that's still bothering him? That guy was taking a picture of himself and I was in the room.
Maybe. Maybe.
All right.
Maybe he's listening to this right now going, damn it, why did I do that? I'm sure he talks like that.
So, Bob,
Russell Crowe, why did I do that?
I feel like there are many things that are going on with you that we need to discuss a little bit.
Yeah, first thing, I love talking to you guys because I'm out of people now. Nobody
okay,
wants,
that's fine.
Nobody
you're
talks
out of
to me
people.
Anymore.
You're always welcome, Bob. You know that. But first Thank of all, you. Were you listening in the other room as Ralph was giving his interpretation of the news as it has been unfolding with the casting of Fuller House? Were you hearing any of that on the
yes,
radio?
Yes, you could hear Ralph in the other room with no microphones in this room.
All that's right. always true.
So your thoughts on your co-star, the Olsen Twins, your co-stars, the Olsen Twins, not coming to Fuller House. You're cool with that? Sad about that?
Well, they're my friends. So I right. think whatever is good for my friends is good for my me. I mean, it's I want people to be happy and do what they should do with their lives.
Shouldn't you force them to be on the show at gunpoint if necessary?
I don't think
it's a good question, though.
Anything in that sentence should be used. If you'd have thrown duct tape in, still no. I would have done none of that.
Are you
no,
bummed that they're not?
No. I'm what I'm glad about, honestly, not to sound like this, the fact that I'm on media right now. I mean, this is not media. This
not
is
really.
Kevin and Bean.
No one is listening, Bob. No one.
That's not true. I checked, and there's seven.
All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Because we'll they it. Retweeted. you know, it's a 13-show pickup for Netflix. It's supposed to be about – now, if you know – it's interesting when you talk to the room. Did you watch Full House growing
up? Of course.
Okay. So when people know that DJ and Steph – and Andrea Barber, which was Kimmy Gibbler. You always kind of throw that in. But if you know those characters, then that's what the show's about. So it's the opposite. We were three guys raising three girls. These are three young ladies raising their kids. I believe that there's no spouse for DJ. They're using that same beautiful formula of single parent needs help to raise
So what you're
kids.
Saying is you're glad the Olsen Twins aren't on the show.
No, I'm just saying
I
it's
heard the same thing.
The, you guys have amazing filters.
We hear what we want to hear.
I don't blame you.
So you wouldn't let them on the show if they begged you to be on the show, Bob. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm suggesting barricades. But I love them a lot. That's the truth. And I do talk to them. And usually about 3 or 4 in the morning, L.A. time, because I can't sleep. No, but first thing I read about it is in the you know, the little viral stuff. And I don't like viral stuff because you can't take an antibiotic. You know.
It's true.
Yeah.
Your friend John Stamos said that he was heartbroken or crushed. I don't remember what the exact word was.
I think that's just because I didn't call him back. I think it was a non sequitur. Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's secretly attached to me.
What do you know about the new show? Have you seen scripts?
No. No, I think they're going to use ViewMaster slides.
Are you writing scripts?
No.
You don't have any part of that?
No, the whole thing is done. The whole show is going to be in Amharic.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Passion of the Christ was in Amharic?
Yes, that's right.
Right.
That's
so right. I was just trying to tell you it was going to hit a big audience.
Okay.
I think John's happy. We had, the guy that wrote the show originally, Jeff Franklin, is writing the pilot. So it's kind of a trip through that memory lane.
When
it's
do you anticipate filming
ago.
It was
when
30
you,
years ago.
When do you think
crazy.
You'll be filming, Bob?
I don't know. I know it's months from now is what I'm told. But there is there is stuff going on. It is a reality.
So you're telling me that there's stuff going on.
There is stuff that's happening. They told me to be at the stage with a briefcase.
Okay.
Handcuffed to my hand. And then if I have the money, they'll have the stuff.
Okay.
And that's, I guess they mean the script.
That sounds solid. Sure.
We are getting a lot of very exclusive details about Fuller House from Bob Saget. This is really worth having you on.
I can see the quotes now. It's going to be great.
Hey, we got to take a break. Bob Saget is at the Irvine Improv for 5 big shows this weekend, 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, and then Sunday night. Tickets are available at improv.com. And also his star-studded annual comedy benefit that he does every year is coming up. And I think this looks like the best one ever, Bob.
It
and we're going to talk
so
about
nice.
That.
Thank
when
you.
We return right after this with our friend Bob Saget on K-Rock. Our friend Bob Saget in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, comedian, actor, best-selling author, playing at the Irvine Improv 5 shows this weekend. What were you saying, Bob? This is a new room down there?
Yeah, they knocked down the old thing. There's some Spectrum Center shopping mecca in Irvine, and they made it the whole new mecca, and it's like a, I don't know, like a 500, 600-seat theater comedy club, but it's supposed to be very beautiful, so it's first time I'm in there.
Improv.com. Tickets available just $30. Show is 21 and over. Actually, I've seen Bob's act. It should be 40 and over. I don't know if you're ready for it at age 30.
Well, pacemakers you got to watch out for. I actually am less blue than I was. Something happened where I'm just a little bit less. I do readings from highlights and young
That's
children's
nice.
Material. My friend Mike Young is going to be opening for me, which I like a lot. He's a good guy.
Ali, you never met Bob before today. Are there any Bob Saget questions you've always wanted to ask?
Wow.
How about a heads up
probably,
on that?
Yeah, probably not on the air.
Okay, all right.
I did
he will show it to you if that's what you're asking.
Well, that was it.
It's probably... Yeah, I'm showing it to you now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's under my glasses.
Bob, what about June 5th this year?
June 5th is the at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel is the Scleroderma Research Foundation benefit that we do. We haven't done it for 2 years there, and it is called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine, and it's a very dear event to me. I lost my sister to this disease, scleroderma, in 1994. And I've been involved.
You're still not over that?
But no, nope, never going to get over it.
Let me ask you a question, because I think you brought up that while we were having dinner that you started doing that charity benefit before you knew your sister had that disease.
I did.
That's insane.
It's weird. It was very, I guess, fortuitous would be the word. It was like 3 years earlier, I had been asked by the founder of this foundation, Sharon Monsky, to do it. And it was a comedy benefit. Robin Williams was the first person that ever did it. And then I did like the second or third year, and then I just started doing it. And then all of a sudden, my sister came down with this disease. We didn't know what it was, and it turned out to be scleroderma. And then after about 3 years, she lost her life to it. It progressed very quickly. So I've kind of met all of these brilliant people. I'm a fool in a boardroom. Scientist. They go, what do you think we should do, Bob? I said, I don't know. We really need to get Jim Gaffigan to do this.
You should fix this.
You know, the cell makeup means nothing. But now we have raised over $35 million since then.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. And all of that I'm putting into a feature that I've been wanting to make.
I'm sorry. I thought it was for the charity.
It goes, well, I say it's the charity, right, but it's really this comedy that I know is going to be good. But the money goes to Johns Hopkins. Have a great research center in UCSF and Stanford and other places we fund.
Is it frustrating? I'm sorry, Kevin, just real quick. Is it frustrating for you that more people don't know about scleroderma? I mean, considering it's something that hurt your family so hard?
It can be. It's got hundreds of thousands of victims, and most of them are women in the prime of their lives. Some people think that's the profiling that goes on, that it's not a bunch of guys in Congress with it. But we can't wish everything on everybody. But there's a lot of people that have problems, you know, with symptoms of like scleroderma, which is like arthritis in your fingertips, Raynaud's arthritis, can sometimes blow into that larger scope type of disease. But the great news is there's actually, we have a couple sponsors. We have Bayer Aspirin and Actelion, and they came up with a new pill, this Actelion company, that actually helps scleroderma patients.
That's what I was going to ask you.
It's actually working. It's not like
you're getting response from the money that's been given.
Yeah, it's actually
updates.
And people do, you know, I can't create an illusion. People are still losing their lives to the disease because it's a horrible one, as opposed to the fantastic diseases.
The good ones.
I guess
out there.
Psoriasis, maybe.
if you end up curing this thing, if they end up with the money that you raise, if they end up figuring out a way to cure this thing, might you win some sort of Nobel Prize for medicine?
I might go to a high school and see if their metal shop will make me something. No, I don't think I can win nothing, but I can't even barely talk English. But
you just said you can't win nothing.
You can't win nothing.
Yeah. But you do speak.
I think Tom Sawyer said that. Mike, it's always been a comedy benefit, and it's always been a very lovely one. And I wish you could come to it, Bean, but I know that Kevin will be there, and
The night is going to be
a 5-course meal by Susan Feniger and Mary Sue Milliken, who are top chefs. They own Border Grill restaurants, and they've been affiliated since, my God, it must be 35 years. And then the Jimmy Kimmel's going to do the auction with me, which should be a lot of fun.
That sounds great.
High-end items for some people that have a few bucks to throw around that have connections to the disease. They either have a family member or they're just very philanthropic, caring people, and those are very hard to find. and then my dear friend Jeff Garland is going to do stand-up, and then Jim Gaffigan is flying in to do it, and then my friend John Mayer is going to play a few songs. And
sounds like a good night.
It's a really good night, and then we all the bathrooms are then roped off, so you can't go. So, and we lock the doors and we release water into the room. It's very Poseidon
Adventure. Sounds quick.
It's good. You eat and then. We say
you
out
and
by
then you die.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen anyway.
Okay. One minute you're having fun watching John Mayer, the next minute you're on the Titanic and you'd rally.
Exactly.
How do you? By the way, let me give out the website address. It's srfcure. srfcure.org. And we'll put that on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, too, if that's easier to remember. But
thank
otherwise,
you.
It's srfcure.org. And that event is coming up Friday, June 5th at the Four Seasons Beverly Wilshire in Los Angeles. Great night of comedy. Jim Gaffigan, Jeff Garlin, Jimmy Kimmel, and musical guest John Mayer. How do you know John Mayer? I know all celebrities know each other, but how do you know him?
I guess about 10 years ago, my dad died. And
every one of Bob's stories starts like that.
He was perfectly fine. But then he just left. And I've been trying to figure it out and doing stand-up. And I don't know. I met John out one night, and he said he wanted to do stand-up. So I took him around to a couple clubs.
Did he do stand-up?
He did. He did. He talked about cloven-hooved people. And I spoke of my father being gone. You know,
what a good time that must have been.
Well, it was. You know, I went to give him five, and it was just like a knuckle hitting a centaur.
You have the weirdest stories, Bob.
Well, you know, but the truth is, if you had gone,
yes, he used the word centaur.
So you guys are hanging out together.
Yes, yes.
And both of you, something happens to one of you, family member or something. Let's do stand up tonight. You know what? It's just been a really crappy month. You do it. I mean, you guys always do it at all your events. But if you could decide to just go into town and vent your feelings, odds are it's going to be strange. You're not going to go up and just go, oh, boy, I had a loss in my life. You'll probably go up saying, you know, boy, I've got drainage. You know, just because this is how I look
drainage.
At things.
I need to remember that word.
Well, drainage
everything is bad happening is drainage.
It is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I have it at a sink in my house. I have many sinks. And this one sink has got drainage and leakage. Now,
what is wrong with Bob?
But wait, drainage
well, no,
is good
I'm talking about
in rec
house
for
stuff.
A regular sink.
You guys like current events. This is happening right now in my sink at my house. Drainage and leakage. But if it happens to a person,
it's not good.
Not good.
Yeah.
Unless you're sitting on the sink.
Okay.
Then.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How do we get back to John Mayer doing comedy?
He's a centaur. I understand.
Which was.
He was
30 seconds and another world ago.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm not that linear. And that's your job. You guys are amazing at
it. I'm trying to put it together.
Okay, so when John, he had been talking about minotaurs and things like that. That's
okay.
What he was talking about.
Right.
And I was talking about, you know, my father left. And I said jokes like he touched a lot of people and they're pressing charges now. Jokes like that. And it, quiet like that. Same quiet response.
Well, that's how everyone wants to remember their dad.
That's how Bob has had to deal with life a lot of different times.
Yeah, it is a little weird. So I go.
I remember
right...
when we first met Bob, I worried that we don't want to be in his orbit because everyone around him seems to drop dead.
And now it's all changed because now everyone just lives forever. And that's what's better. You know, you want to be like 98 and then you have a stench. You know, if you go to the car wash, for example, let me finish. Here's a great train of thought.
Okay.
And they put that little Christmas tree deodorizer around your grandpa's neck.
Right.
That's not the car. That's grandpa that's got that stench.
Right.
So all I'm saying is you'd
rather. That was the joke, Kevin.
No, it wasn't a joke.
So you're
it was
saying,
a thought. I'm saying it's better to be taken out early.
Okay. All right. All right. Before you start to get old and smelly. Okay. I got you. I'm with you.
Don't get old and smelly, people.
That's our takeaway from
the
today.
Message.
Here's two things you don't give me. A question and a soapbox.
Let me recap the information for those who insist on having more Bob Saget in their lives. He'll be at the beautiful new Irvine Improv for five big shows this weekend at improv.com. Go to that and then get your tickets for Friday, June 5th at the Four Seasons Beverly Wilshire. That sounds like a super fun event. I actually would go to that, Bob.
I would love for you to do
if
it.
I were in town and had nothing else to do, I would go.
What
that sounds
I can I come up and drive you down?
Nope. srfcure.org is – and we also – Dave tweeted it out. We also put it up on the Kevin and Me Facebook page. That looks like a lot of fun. Bob,
thank
you're the
you.
Best, man. We always love having you.
You are, too. I love you guys as well in a very manly and yet human mammal way.
I don't know what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:41.
That one was super over.
I'm saying Chip wasn't paying attention.
That one was gone and wasn't going to
be. Blame it on me.
Well, she didn't give you the 20-second warning
thank
that you're
you.
Used to, by the way.
You
your
thank you.
Look
at the clock.
How dare you?
Hey, listen, you too is a thing, right?
Very much so.
Yes.
All right. Taking over the Roxy. That's Thursday night. I just want to give you a heads up. You know, a lot of people have been saying, you don't understand, Kevin and Bean, I really need to go. You don't know how much I love you, too. Well, we're going to give you a chance to win them every 30 minutes today on K-Rock, starting at 9 a.m. So at 9 o'clock, you can win a pair of tickets. At 9:30, a pair of tickets. At 10 a.m. and then throughout the day. So do that today, and then you can join us Thursday night at the Roxy. Get the details at krock.com.
Just talking with Bob Saget about his charity event. Arnold Schwarzenegger is part of a charity as well, and you get to actually go to Arnold's house and blow stuff up.
This is fantastic, by the way. This is so you, Kevin.
It really is.
This is so
it
you.
Really is.
Ralph told us about a couple days ago on the Showbiz Beat, and I think we have some tape of the former governor himself explaining why he's involved in this charity.
I said I'd be back. I am. Last year, I flew an Obese win out to Los Angeles to crush things with my tank. This year, we're gonna blow up. Boom goes the dynamite. Let's say you're procrastinating cleaning your closet. Just blow it up. Together, we can blow up anything. Irrational fear of gummy bears? Blow it up. No, you didn't just hallucinate. I'm inviting you to Los Angeles to blow with me. Just go to amaze.com/Arnold. And remember, it all benefits after school programs. So what are you waiting for? Don't blow it.
Wait, blow it or don't blow it?
It is Omaze, omaze.com/Arnold to benefit the After School All-Stars. We wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, hey, is there any chance we can catch up with our old friend Arnold? And I believe we have him on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Kevin and Bean, how are you?
We are good.
Yeah.
This is pretty awesome what you're doing. I got to be honest. A lot of charity stuff sounds kind of boring. This sounds pretty fun.
This is a great way to give to a great charity, but also you get to blow things up.
Right. Now, do you have TNT at your house pretty much all the time?
I am TNT. I'm dynamite.
But I'm saying you literally have dynamite.
Yeah. I've got the dynamite. I've got hand grenades, got a rocket launcher, all these things you can use to blow things up. It's going to be incredible. You know, you can if you don't like something, you can terminate it.
Okay,
right.
All right, Arnold.
Yeah.
Maybe some ground rules here.
I just blew up an omelet.
Really?
Why?
A lot of firepower.
I was having that for breakfast.
Huh.
I didn't like it. It had the red bell peppers in it.
Oh, I see.
I don't like bell peppers.
Okay, all right.
So I blew it up.
Blew it up. Okay.
That's great, right?
All right.
Anything you will not blow up?
Let me think. No, I'll blow up anything. I blew up my maid's vulva.
Oh, wow.
I blew up her uterus with a baby.
Yeah, you did do that. That's true.
That's great.
So this After School All-Stars, this is
ASAS.
Right. And
or
this
ass-ass,
is
as I call it.
ASAS, right. So this is a program to give kids something to do after school while their parents are working. Is that right?
Yeah, this is for at-risk kids who have come from, you know, low-income families, and they need the something to do after work while the parents are working, and also, you know, to help them with tutoring and learning how to do these things. So it's a great cause, and, you know, I don't know if you remember back when you were in school or not. I remember, because I have total recall.
You have to at some point get over using – what'd you just blow up there, by the way?
I just blew up my joke rider.
Well, that answers Bean's question. Good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
I'm a little bit too excited for the Bachelorette Report coming up after 8, I got to be honest.
Boy, I don't know how they're going to top last night's episode. They packed all the crazy into one episode, I think.
You
season.
Say that every week.
I know. It just gets more crazy.
Isn't this awfully early in the season for the girls to just be going out of their heads?
Well, it's guys. Guys are going out of their heads. It's one girl.
Right. Okay. Okay.
They're just a bunch of just the worst, and she is worse than they are. I'm so glad. You know, initially I was upset because I wanted Britt to be the Bachelorette because I love her, but this girl is so much more of a hot mess. So I think it's going to really be a much more entertaining season.
Well, I'm very excited. I can't wait. And by the way, new UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier joins us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. First time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. Here's Ralph.
It is Tuesday, but we're going to take a look at the weekend's box office anyway, because it was a long weekend. George Clooney's Tomorrowland debuted at number one, as expected, but not by the margin. that some people may have expected. It made $41.7 million.
Yeah, this is a real expensive movie to make, right?
It was a high-budget film from Disney, and I think it underperformed, a little less than expected. Pitch Perfect, for example, Pitch Perfect 2, came in right behind it with $38.5 million, so it wasn't that much of a difference between 1 and 2, and then not that much of a difference between 2 and 3. Mad Max Fury Road made about $32 million additional dollars this weekend. Avengers Age of Ultron made about $28 million. Then Poltergeist, in its debut, made $26.5 million. That's the top five at the box office. Number six was Hot Pursuit. Then the rest of the top ten, Far From the Maddening Crowd, Furious 7, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, and Home. And Mira, probably best known these days as Ben Stiller's mother, passed away over the weekend. She was 85 years old.
She had a sexy voice.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about, but she was, although she was Ben Stiller's mom, she was also an amazing performer in her own right. Back in the day, she and her husband Jerry Stiller, who you may know from King of Queens or from Seinfeld, they had a comedy team, Stiller and Mira, and they were one of the best sketch comedy teams I've ever seen. Go on YouTube and find yourself some of their work. They did very, very funny stuff together. They were on the Ed Sullivan Show and every variety show they appeared on. And, yeah, she was a very talented lady, and it's sad news to hear that she passed away over the weekend. Hey, you're going to find this shocking, but apparently Bill Cosby attacked some woman.
What?
Yeah.
That's so out of character.
I know.
He's so family friendly.
He's Dr. Huxtable.
What?
One of the women who accused Cosby of drugging and then molesting her has filed a sexual battery lawsuit against Cosby. In the lawsuit, she claims Cosby molested her in the bedroom of the Playboy Mansion in Los Angeles. Her name is Judy Huth. The reason that the L.A. County Superior Court is going to allow this lawsuit, civil lawsuit, to move ahead is because she claims she was a minor at the time of the alleged attack, saying she was just 15 years old when Cosby allegedly did what he did. So Cosby lawyers are filing an appeal, trying to get it dropped from the court's docket, but the court said it can move forward. So it looks like Judy Huth will see at least a civil court hearing at some point regarding the Cosby charges.
I've never seen anything like this. And reality is the situation.
Yeah, it is the situation.
It's a good point.
Thank you. You're excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Why not like that situation?
Nope, not that.
Was B.B. King murdered?
No. He just passed away. No
yes,
one said
he did,
about
Kevin.
Murder?
Oh, no one?
Well, I don't...
How about his daughters? We're saying he was poisoned.
Oh, wow.
Wow. His two daughters claim that BB's business manager, Laverne Tony, and his personal assistant, Myron Johnson, conspired to poison him.
Why?
Because he talked to Bean.
BB! Hey, BB! BB! BB, what's in that drink you drink? You afraid that might be poison? BB! BB! Hey, BB! Hey, BB! Hey, BB!
Ralph, I'm not suggesting there's a correct way to kill an old person, but if he's 89, don't you just wait it out?
He has debilitating diabetes.
Yeah, do you take the risk to poison the man, or do you just sit on it for a couple of months?
You sit on him for a couple of months?
No. That's a strange way to kill a person.
That is inhuman, Bean.
Just wait it out is all I'm saying.
Well, we'll know soon enough. An autopsy was performed Sunday on King's body, and test results should be back in 8 weeks. We'll know whether there's any poison in his system or not. Las Vegas homicide detectives are looking into this. Karen Williams and Patty King, two of BB's daughters, were very suspicious about the way their father was cared for in his final days, and so they are claiming that he was, in fact, murdered by associates.
I think they have some questions about the will, too. I think that's the motive, right?
Oh, you know that.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And this Bono fellow that I've heard so much about.
Lead singer U2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Seems to be a jolly good chap.
Yes.
All right.
Is that it?
That's it.
Just checking.
No, it's some great video online. You can check it out. U2 played Phoenix last Thursday night. And Bono does this a lot. I don't know what. Remember the time you brought up that girl U2 cover band? You ever seen that footage?
Oh, yeah.
You brought them up on stage? I think it was here in Los Angeles. He's very quick to invite people up on stage with him. There was a guy in the audience in Phoenix who was asking the band to play In God's Country, one of their hits. And Bono said they hadn't planned on doing it. He didn't know if he could remember the lyrics or not. And the guy said, well, I know the chords on guitar. So Bono pulls him up out of the crowd, gets the guy an acoustic guitar, plugs him in, and the guy played In God's Country along with the band while Bono sang.
And it was good?
Great. Sounded awesome. Sounded awesome.
Huh.
Guy did a great job. When the song was over, he tried to stick around for the next tune, which was the sweetest thing. Bono decided he wasn't having any of that and had security take him away. So Bono giveth, Bono taketh away, as they say about Bono.
Could we hear just briefly Kevin hanging up on Bono again?
Would sure.
Oh, dear, that didn't
absolutely.
Happen. He was finished.
I can't remember what that
sir,
sounded like.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The world's biggest band in the smallest club they
played in 4 decades. Oh, Kevin. He said, see you, Kevin. See you, Bean.
He said, see B.
See B. And then he said something else.
He didn't say anything.
Play it again. God damn it. Play it again. Bean.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The world's biggest.
Yeah.
Didn't sound like he said anything.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The world's
big. Okay, so bye-bye. He might have said bye-bye.
Yeah, that's what
Maybe
he said.
That's what he was
saying. Well, let him say it.
I did.
No,
he said it.
Did he say it?
Yes, he did.
While you were playing something over on top of him.
Maybe.
Not maybe.
No, we just
heard it. It was on top of him.
That's alleged.
It's not alleged. We just heard it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The world's big.
While
he said
was
bye-bye.
Talking,
he said
you
bye-bye.
Were playing something else. Why can't you just let him finish and then play something?
He definitely had a face full of loud on his phone while he was still talking to us. Definitely. There's no question about that.
That's a porn movie Kevin made, wasn't it? Face full of loud. Today's celebrity birthdays. Matt Stone is 44 years old today. He's the creator of South Park along with his partner Trey Parker. Jeez, I wonder what it would sound like if we took their names and we mixed them up.
Come on.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this
call
is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Bean.
It's pretty sweet.
My favorite part of this still is him asking you for help.
Yeah.
That shows you when and you're in a... To any port in a storm, man.
Well, it's
he's a man going down for the third time, just grabbing at any piece of wreckage from the ship he can find.
It's not just that there's no way I would have any answer for him. It's not just that. It's also the rule in the room is to not help somebody.
Right.
So
Kevin lives
two
by the rules.
Two strikes right there. That's right.
That's what he's well known for.
I get hung by the rules every single day.
That particular rule, yeah. Helena Bonham Carter's 49. Lenny Kravitz is 51. Bobcat Goldthwait turns 53 years old today. Stevie Nicks is 67. And country music legend Hank turns 60.
Oh. Overdoing it?
Nah.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petra's Papa thinking, so he's holding hands. Kissing and hugging at sunset. Watching The Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about The Bachelorette.
Petros Papadakis, how are you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. And Allie, what's popping with y'all?
Petros, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we would need an hour to cover what happened last night on the hour of The Bachelor.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes I was very passionate about, and then the one African-American gentleman got a little upset and couldn't quite articulate as to why he was upset.
Yes.
And then just kind of turned to violence at the end of it all. And then it was to be continued, but there was a lot to process there.
It was jam-packed. First of all, they started off that she had all the guys get together and meet a boxing legend, Leila Ali. And they all did a couple classes in boxing, and then the Bachelorette threw them all into the ring to fight each other.
Wait.
For the Bachelor belt.
And, you know, here's the thing.
Did she make all that up?
Or no,
is that a thing every...
Your brother, Chris Harrison, the nicest man in the world, did. We're talking about a bunch of dudes, and these aren't like little guys. A lot of these guys are big. One of the guys weighs about 225 pounds, and he doesn't have a lot of body fat. And just to put headgear on him and give him 2 hours with Leila Ali and then throw him into a ring to kill each other is one of the most irresponsible, I'm being honest, one of the most irresponsible things I've ever seen in the history of this. I mean, I know the show's BS and they're not really trying to find love and romance, but I can't believe nobody got killed. Only one guy ended up in the hospital, but you got to be kidding me.
Shame on you, Bachelor. It was ridiculous.
Did you just say shame on you, Bachelor? Come on.
I got to be honest with you. I feel that way. I feel that way all the time. Like, oh, this is ridiculous. How could they do this? And then I remind myself that it's a show for idiots.
Right.
But this took the cake. This took the idiot cake.
But at least these guys aren't all out to try to impress a girl and all pumped up with testosterone and ego. At least that wasn't part of the fighting.
Haymakers like the film 300.
Nothing but just giant sweeping wide punches to the head. That's all every one of these matches were.
People and, fighting for their lives.
And one of the guys did get tagged right on the button, right on the corner of the jawbone there, and just got buckled. Went to the canvas, and this was my favorite statement of the night by the Bachelorette, Caitlin.
I'm, like, freaking out. I wanted this to be fun. I feel terrible. Like, I really didn't want anyone to get hurt.
You gave them boxing gloves and put them in a ring!
I feel terrible.
She didn't want anyone to get hurt.
I can't believe that these guys took it too far. Now, look, I have a little bit, nothing big, but just a little bit of an experience in boxing when I got done playing football. And we sparred, and every once in a while, you know, things would get a little heated. But you have to be very controlled. At least seven guys went down.
Yes.
Down more than the Mayweather fight, or any Mayweather fight ever.
Yes, it
there
was.
More knockdowns than any Mayweather fight in the history of his, like, decades-long career.
I was stunned. I really was. And I thought, you know what? This would be like if it was The Bachelor instead of The Bachelorette, if you had all the girls do a pole dancing competition.
They should do that.
If you put all the girls on the pole and made them do stripper routines, having guys get into the ring and just beat on each other seemed just so archaic and just debased.
Let's take them over to Fantasy Island and do Jello wrestling, you know, when they get The Bachelor around. Let's bring them over to Pico and do Jello wrestling. I'm sure the feminists will love it.
So the show went on. She started interviewing all these guys, and they're just all douchebags. I don't know which douchebag to talk about. You had JJ, the arrogant douchebag.
Oh,
you had
God.
Tony,
He's
the healer.
Everything douchey about Tom Cruise is in this guy.
That's true. And this guy, I don't even know his name. All I know is the minute he told me what his kid's name was, I would have booted him out of the competition.
Did you say you have a son?
I do. He's 4 years old.
Okay.
His name's Aurelius.
Aurelius?
Yeah.
Aurelius?
What?
Aurelius?
Like Aurelius Bend, the football player?
A name you give a kid.
Is that a sci-fi reference or something, Ralph?
No, I think it was a Roman emperor.
Okay.
But I also think...
One of the ones that went crazy and killed all the women, like Caligula?
So, but I also think it could have been one of the apes in Planet of the Apes. I'm not sure. That's where I think it came from. But this Tony guy, the healer, the one who's...
Oh, he's the best.
He is a spiritual man, P.
He can't get out of a sentence.
Well,
I mean, he cannot find his way out of a sentence at all. He's just immortalized.
He's my people.
By the language.
He was the only guy more upset than you, P, about the fact that they made these guys fight each other.
It's always a competition, but it should never lead to, you know, to actual, you know, fisticuffs.
It seems that no one is really paying attention to the reason why we're here. It's for love.
You should never have to fight for attention. Love is selfless and love is given.
Right.
It's not something that you fight for.
Right.
It's got a point.
It's got a point.
It's about love, man.
It's about love.
If that was his only monologue, I could have dealt with the whole show. But
well,
he had like 20 of them.
He was concerned because he thought people didn't know why they were here. My concern was he didn't know who he was here for.
What I need to see tomorrow to determine whether or not Caitlin and I can begin the possibility of building a relationship together is openness.
You know, what you say about Britt and her being supportive and...
You said Britt. Said Caitlin.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
What?
He called her by the wrong name. He called her by the girl who had been kicked off the show.
Yeah, and then he tried to... The thing is he must think that people... I don't know what people are like in Houston or wherever the hell he's a healer. Or St. Louis, excuse me. But they must be the dumbest people in the world. Because the things he tries to explain to guys and people just look at him and nod, I just can't believe they don't walk away.
Then, as if the boxing wasn't enough, she makes a bunch of guys get on stage at the Improv and try their hands at stand-up comedy. And she
That's not new. I mean, they bring in some comedian every year and try to geek it up, but the boxing is what blew me away. The comedy's just awkward. That's why they do that.
They brought in Amy Schumer to help these guys to tutor them in how to be funny on stage. And your boy Tony the Healer, P, I think he really crushed it.
Oh, yeah. This is how you do it. This is it, right? This is how Cosby does it.
Let me tell you that this is definitely an experience. Just to be up here on stage, it really warms my heart. I stand here, you know, humble, you know, and thank you, you know, for the, you know, for the opportunity, and, you know, basically feel capable of anything. You know, I'm mostly serious most of the time. You know, I'm a very deep, you know, in tune guy. I'm very in touch with my emotions and very, very sensitive. So I'm just glad to have this opportunity to explore the lighter side of me. Now, each experience is a learning lesson for all of us. I don't normally drink, and I'm half tanked right now. So, you know, we're all here for a reason. And basically want to make the most of it to allow this to... Do you have something to say?
That's my time. Good night, everybody. Thanks.
Wait, was that stand-up?
That was his routine.
That was supposed to be comedy?
I thought it was pretty well planned. He told the crowd that he was capable of anything, feels like he's capable of anything, and just went forward.
How about comedy?
Not capable of that, apparently.
I heard some laughs. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
And then, again, the Koopa at the end of the show.
King Koopa from Super Mario Brothers.
It's not King Koopa, P, at all. His name is just Koopa. He was very upset because he felt that the Bachelorette wasn't trying to talk to him enough. I think he misunderstood the premise of the show.
Anyone understand the show that's on
I don't
on
think
it?
So, no. And he said, he called her out and said, "You're not paying enough attention to me." And he was loaded, and she said, "I think you need to go." This is even before the rose ceremony. "You need to go home." And then he got very upset. "But you're hot," he said.
That was his
defense. That was,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, it was much like King Koopa in Super Mario Brothers. He thought at the end of the level there had to be a fight.
Right.
You know, he wanted to create. She came to see the boss, and there was going to be a fight. But he really you often see this with the drinking, where some guy just goes out there and steps on his own. You know what?
Yeah.
And then it just perpetuates itself for 20 minutes, and the episode ends in chaos because the guy can't pull himself from the depths of his own confusion.
And then he starts to scream and yell at the producers at the end of the episode.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's where they left us off. It was
and
a cliffhanger.
And she gets all protective. What the hell is she protective of the producers for? They're all like demons. They're horrible people. Why try to protect them?
She went storming out of the mansion to protect the demons. And that was the cliffhanger. Next week, we'll see what happens to her stepping
in. I can't wait for next week.
Producers. It was a pretty magical episode.
Well, they're going to get rid of Tony, right? Because he's complete, and he's going to give an hour-long speech. After he gets kicked out, and that's going to be the first hour of next week's show.
But Koopa's got to go first.
But Koopa already freaked. Now, he's beyond. He's past, as they say in The Phantom of the Opera, past the point of no return. I don't think that they're going to pull a cognizant thought out of him in the limousine.
Well, I'm looking forward to him throw down with the producers.
Did they ever talk about wasn't there a country singer that went after Britt in the hotel or something?
Oh, we forgot that subplot.
Oh,
yeah.
Brady Toops.
Brady, the country singer, last episode, remember, he took himself out of the competition to pursue Britt, the one that left.
Oh, right, right. He went to find her.
He went to find her. They show you in cutaways this episode. He did find her.
Oh.
And, by the way, they've been dating steadily for the past year. They're very much in love.
What? How about that?
He asked her live on the air if she would be his girl.
Yeah, you'd be my lady.
Accepted.
And she accepted.
So a couple of losers from the show ended up winning, it sounds like.
I looked up this guy, Brady Toops, and he has an extensive gospel music website. And he hit a home run for Arkansas baseball back in the about
all right.
5, 7 years
I love
ago.
That right. P is Googling Bachelorette contestants now. That's what his life has come to.
We're going
to
put you in deep background, P. That was good work.
All right. Some of his music, man.
Great great stuff. The Bachelorette airs Monday nights at 9 on ABC, and you can catch up with our friend Petros along with Matt Money Smith, Fox Sports 1, and also AM 570 LA Sports this afternoon again at 3. Thanks, P. Thanks, Ralph. By the way, got some great guests coming up on the show in the next few days here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Reggie Watts, also Jen Kirkman, comedian, is going to be joining us, the smartest man in the world, Greg Proops, on the program, and tomorrow, Jay Moore will be here. So some good stuff coming up. Speaking of celebrities, We're lucky enough in this job that from time to time we get to meet people that we admire. Like, you know, being able to hang out with U2 on Thursday night, for instance. It's one of the perks of the job. But I'm being mocked lately for not wanting to meet a celebrity that I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you guys don't get that. What's happening, Ralph?
He's confused by your statement.
Because you bludgeon us. You beat us to death with your unnatural affection for these people. It's a nonstop barrage of minuscule facts and bios, and they're the greatest person in the world. And you just you beat us into submission with your just constant barrage of just fanboy disgusting behavior. And then you say, no, I don't want to meet that person.
I would never want to meet Taylor Swift.
You can't have it both ways. You can't do both.
You can. You can be a fan, but you can also be a fan to the point of you don't want to spoil that fandom. You don't want that to bleed over into your real life.
But you can't be a super fan and make your coworkers miserable with your endless
prattle.
I'm not making
anybody miserable.
Yes, you are.
And then not meet that person.
First of all, I barely mentioned Taylor Swift. Second of all. So here's what happened. So Dave and Christine, our producer and assistant producer, are coming up to visit me in a month or two, and we're gonna.
That's right, Chip. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Actual visitors who are allowed to come.
He's like, be tired for them.
We'll see.
And we're all gonna hop in the car and head up to Vancouver to see T-Swizzle in concert up there on August 1st. And so Christine's, you know, she's got the hookup, so she's like, hey, let's meet Taylor. We can arrange it so that we can do, you know, the backstage thing. You guys can, you know, meet Taylor Swift, get your picture taken. And I like, no, I do not, will not, cannot,
what?
Should not, won't.
Why don't you want to meet her? I mean, is there something about her that you think she can't live up to? Or
no, I don't. I've thought about this.
Is it the court order?
Enforceable in
that's
Canada.
That's why he's going to Canada.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not allowed to see her in America, but I don't know. I'm having trouble explaining it. It's just that I think I would be too nervous, and I think I would embarrass myself somehow. Not that she would know or care. Not that it would make a blip on her radar. But I feel like I would blow it. I feel like there's no way that
blow it because what do you think might happen if you don't blow?
All you're going to do is say hello and shake her hand and take a picture.
I know.
How bad can you F that up?
I know that it kind of doesn't make any sense, but I just feel like I would rather not go through that in case I somehow screw it up. Or in case, I don't know, I just feel like it's
But what celebrity are you serious about this, though? Not Taylor Swift, for God's sake.
It is Taylor Swift. But, I mean, I'm envisioning what that backstage situation would be like, and I just feel like it would be awkward, and we'd
Why
all be in
awkward?
Like a...
awkward? You say hello.
Because he's been.
It's a great show tonight, Taylor. Nice to meet you. And they take a picture, and you move on.
I know, but it doesn't...
You apparently don't know. You keep saying, I know, but you don't know.
Look,
your damage is endless.
That's true. It's very true.
But look, Ralph, you, like me, are enamored of certain people that you admire, like the Monty Python guys, for instance, or somebody you flew across the globe to go see. If you had the opportunity to meet the Monty Python guys, would you have done that?
In a heartbeat.
Okay, that's not a good example.
No, it's not.
No, because, see, Ralph doesn't have unrealistic ideas of what might come of that. He's just going to say, hi, and I like your work. That's it.
Maybe get a picture. That'd be great.
There's nothing to blow, Bean. Right. You don't have an opportunity with her.
Nothing could be easier to do than you go backstage and meet someone.
I don't feel like I have unrealistic opportunities. I feel like I know exactly what it's going to be, and I feel like somehow I would still screw that up. I'm worried. It's me.
What is
wrong with you?
Are you going to push her into a punch bowl or something? What Cousin Balky event do you think is going to happen backstage?
I've got it. All right. You're next, Bean.
All right. Let me throw this out. By the way, I'm fine.
Taylor, I just want to... Oh, you fell in the cake. Oh, no. What are Laverne and Shirley going to do next?
Oh, I'm sorry, Taylor.
Laverne and Shirley met the monkeys.
All right, we're going to take some calls. If there's ever been somebody that you admire so much that you've had the opportunity to meet them and decided not to or decided you didn't want to. But let me throw this out, Ralph, because I think I've got some evidence against you here, sir. I want to bring up a name of a woman named Shirley Manson.
Yes.
That you would not come in the room to say hello to because you loved her too much. True or false?
Well, it's because I didn't want to be a bother. It wasn't like, oh,
we're going to take you backstage and do an, a meet and greet introduction,
which
thing.
Is exactly what that's for—is to meet and greet.
That's what it's for. Right. I will not go out of my way to impinge on someone's time if they're working or if they're at a restaurant or if they're in a social situation. I don't like to horn my way in. I feel that is sort of that makes me uncomfortable doing.
But wasn't
that to
this
someone.
At the Acoustic Christmas show or something that we had, Shirley? And you had the opportunity to meet her.
No,
at an event?
It was, you guys were doing an interview situation. I wasn't going to tag along while she was doing an interview and then try to monopolize some of her time. But when Lisa Warden pulled me over and said, "This is Shirley," and introduced me, I met her then.
You did meet her.
Yes.
You didn't.
No, I didn't. I didn't pull Laverne and Shirley and swing from the chandelier and accidentally knock her out a window or anything. No.
All right.
I just said, "Hello, nice to meet you. I'm a big fan." That's what
All right,
said.
So I can't go to you. Kevin, is there anyone that you have loved too much to meet?
No. I mean, maybe you're unhappy with the way it went. When I met Magic Johnson, for example, it all went, I was terrible, but who cares? He didn't remember that 30 seconds after it happened.
Okay.
Remember, you gave him AIDS.
That was a bad that's
meeting.
Not what
I
happened.
That.
No.
I remember that. I remember
I just
did that.
Said the words that I believe I'm quoting myself here. "Hey, you're great." I think that's what I said, and he said, "Thank you very much." He's gracious, and he moved on, and I hated myself, but it was fine.
It
he
was
forgot
a fail
about it.
On your part, but yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Right, right.
Still, to say you're great is a compliment. You could have said,
Allie.
"You suck." That would have been worse if you said that.
You're just going to go keep going person to person, aren't you?
Until I find somebody who's just like me.
Hey, let's go to Shebeen.
I can't be the only one in the world who feels this way.
But you're not, because...
Oh, has this happened to you?
Yeah, it has, and I'm embarrassed to say it now.
Who was it?
Conan O'Brien. I had 3 occasions to meet him, and I said no every single time.
Because
I don't want it to ruin what we have.
Okay, go with that. Let me hear more of that.
Oh, that's enough for me.
I've loved Conan since the mid-90s, been a huge Conan O'Brien fan.
Right.
I had the opportunity for my birthday to meet him.
And how would that have changed what you have?
Because it would change things. What if it was awkward or weird, and then,
you're just saying hi.
No, it would be so much more.
Were you uncomfortable meeting someone paler than you?
That might
be. Is that part of it?
The
only person.
Did you want to keep holding on to the title? You didn't want to give up the belt?
I didn't want to give up my sash.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It looks good. But I get it. You have these expectations.
You don't have anything with him, though.
I do in my head.
No, but you don't, though.
Yeah, it's real good what we have.
You
real
need
good.
Counseling. You both need counseling.
How dare you?
I think Allie is on to something here. I really do.
Because she's the first person to support
you. She's on to mental illness.
No, because she has articulated it in a way that I didn't think of, which is, and let me go with this for 1 second. I feel, and maybe this is the same way you feel about Conan, is I have a relationship as a fan to Taylor Swift's music. I love her music, and it speaks to me, and it's meaningful, and I enjoy it so much. And I feel like
meaningful.
It is, because I am a 15-year-old girl, as you know. So I feel like that would be ruined somehow if now she wasn't just a person who writes and sings music. Now she's an actual real person that I'm in a room with. It upsets the balance of that relationship that Mike Alley is talking about.
Because you don't know if she's real or not.
No, I know.
You think she might be a fairy princess.
You
no,
and she being are crazy.
If you see her and she turns out to be a real person, then all bets are off.
No,
I understand completely, you crazy person.
I know she's a real person, but it's kind of like you watch a movie and it ruins it for you if you see how the trick was done or the special effects were made, and all of a sudden it's not, you're taken out of the magic of the film.
Like,
that's
what if
I'm
I
saying.
Shook Conan's hand and it was like a limp handshake, and then I watch him and now he's limp handshake guy. That's sad.
Allie's making an insane amount of good sense right now.
Right, Bean?
All
right.
You just said
you two should be on an island.
That's correct.
1-800-520-1067. Who's the star that you were too afraid to meet, even though you love that person? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. There's a celebrity that you love, but you don't want to meet that person for whatever reason. That's what we're talking about. It happened to Allie McKay with Conan O'Brien. She's had 3 different chances to meet him. I had the opportunity to meet Taylor Swift, but I won't do it because I don't want to spoil what we have, Kevin. You get that, right?
And this is your second time, by the way, that you're rejecting the Taylor
That's
Swift meeting.
Right.
That is true.
I forgot about the first time.
It was all set up for you. It was set up. It was a go. It was green light.
They offered it. They offered it to me, and I declined. I said I don't want to do it. So, yeah, this is the second opportunity I'm going to
have. Now, you're worried you're going to fail. You failed already now twice, and Allie's failed 3 times in life.
I don't know if I failed.
Failed.
Oh.
Nope.
Love Conan O'Brien. You could have met him three times, and all three times you failed.
What if I let him down?
You couldn't, because he expects nothing from you.
What if I say something so dumb, and then every time I watch him, like, remember that time, Allie? And then you're like, sad. And
then you hear,
this is why you fail. This is why you fail.
Exactly.
Guys, let's get some support from a couple of our listeners who are calling in, shall we? Why don't we start with Aaron in Sherman Oaks? He's on line two. He's got a celebrity in mind that we all agree is awesome. Let's find out what went wrong with him. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
You tell us.
Who's the celebrity that you didn't want to meet?
All right, so last Saturday, I was going to Hamburger Hamlet with my mom for dinner. We're walking down the sidewalk to the front door, and I see this dude in front of me with long hair and a flannel T-shirt. And the first thing I think is, wouldn't that be funny if that happened to be Dave Grohl? And we get to where we're waiting for a table. I catch a glimpse from the side. I see the goatee. It was totally Dave Grohl.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man, what do I do? Because, like, he's, like, my favorite celebrity.
Right.
I listened to Nirvana growing up as a kid. I love the Foo Fighters.
Right.
We know his body of work.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very familiar.
The musician Dave Grohl?
We know what bands he was in. Carry on.
Okay, yeah, duh. I forgot who I was talking to for a second. So I was totally torn because, first of all, he was with his daughter, and I didn't want to bug him. I didn't want to risk, you know, getting attitude from my favorite celebrity. Because that would just be my luck. Like, if I got cursed out by Dave Grohl, I'd be totally crushed.
Right.
Yeah. So I just...
Okay, but what if there was a situation where it was a setup meet and greet? So he is supposed to meet and greet you.
In other words, you're not invading his... By the way, you did the right thing, Aaron, by not approaching him. You should let the man have a life and be out with his daughter.
Right.
That was not an appropriate time for you to approach him. But Kevin's asking, what if it had been a situation where you were set up like you were at a CD signing or something like that where you could meet him? Would you have done it then?
I would still have been a little nervous. But
yeah,
I would have kept it to a minimum. I wouldn't have flipped out and be like, oh, my God, Dave Grohl, I love you. You're the man. But I would have been like, you know, hey, what's up? You know, you're awesome.
All right, good.
Okay,
that would have been a memorable moment for Dave, too.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I have a friend who worships Dave Grohl as well. Took the opportunity to meet him. And you know what? In real life, just as great as you think he'd be. She wouldn't have known that if she was Allie or Bean going, oh, I don't want to ruin what I have.
And this guy, he did the right thing, like Bean mentioned. You don't interfere with someone if they're having dinner or with their family or their Disneyland or something like that. You don't want to walk up to them and ruin their day. But this is a case where that's what they're doing after the show is meeting people and saying hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Dave, tell us who the best call is because we don't have time for all of them. Which one do you want us to go to here?
All right. Joey Mack. Good listen.
Joey Mack.
All right, let's go to Joey Mack. This is going to be on, where do we have?
Line three.
Line three, Heather in Orange County. Heather, thank you for calling the Kevin Beecher. Thanks for holding on. What celebrity? I guess we know now. It's Joey McIntyre from New Kids. What's the story?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so in love with him. And
right.
I had the opportunity to deliver flowers to his home.
Right.
And where he potentially would have answered the door in potentially a towel.
And when you say potentially
a towel,
it's because you didn't deliver them?
I didn't. I stayed in the car, and I didn't do it. I was too afraid that I would embarrass myself and not say the right stuff.
Did he not get the flowers that he was supposed to get?
She said the right stuff.
See what
the
she
right
did
stuff.
There? Yeah. But didn't he yell out as you were driving away, please don't go, girl?
Oh, I hope I wish.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
So Joey never got his flowers because you wouldn't get out of the car?
No, someone else did it and told me that, you know, he looked great. But
are you okay or are you hanging tough?
You're with me. You hear it. You feel it.
Yeah, he does, unfortunately.
All right, so
but you're with Bean is more importantly. The
so
what's
our,
you do
this,
not want to be
going to make Heather feel better. Joey and I have a mutual friend, and so we were at his bachelor party together. Me and Joey McIntyre and a few other guys and this guy. And we hung out and partied all night. Greatest guy you'd ever want to meet. That's just a sweetheart of a guy. It would have been a wonderful experience had you had the intestinal fortitude to walk up to his door.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, you blew it. You blew it. You failed.
I failed.
Just like being an Allie, you fail.
Absolutely.
That is team fail right there.
It's not where you're being an Allie.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Joe Rogan, no disrespect to you or the 16,000 people in this arena, but I have a message for one man.
Beer mug.
Get your together. I'm waiting for you.
That's right, man. Beer mug, Daniel Cormier. That's going to be next in UFC. But we'll talk to the new champ, Daniel Cormier, coming up right after the top of the hour here on KROQ. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
Seamless.
It was good.
Crazy. What they can do.
Special he does effects. Good production work.
Right? Can't even see the seams, man.
You're like industrial light and magic, but it comes to audio. It's amazing. The technology we have to work with these days. Movies
are a thing
that people go to see. And this weekend was no different. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Tomorrowland, the new George Clooney fantasy adventure. Number one at the box office, as expected, but not maybe by as much as some expected. $41.7 million is what it made in its debut weekend. Pitch Perfect 2 also did very well again. $38.5 million. Then Mad Max, Fury Road. $32.1 million. Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Poltergeist were the top five movies at the box office, followed by Hot Pursuit, Far From the Maddening Crowd, Furious 7, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, and Home. Being your top 10 movies at the box office. It is Tuesday. You know, it's new release day.
Ooh.
Here's what's available. Alesso has a new CD dropping today called Forever. Lifehouse. Out of the Wasteland. I almost said Out of the Wastebasket, but that would be a very different.
Very different.
Very different, yeah. Album. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Adams has a new CD called Heartbreaker today. That's Summer of 69. It's one of my favorite songs. He does good work.
That's
Ryan Adams.
That's
good,
that's,
good man, and I
Brian.
Like him, and he's yeah. funny, and he's
Brian,
smart.
Different guy.
He's a good Canadian. TV shows on DVD. Here's what you can pick up. The Wonder Years, Season 3. Finally! I have been waiting for Season 3, it seems like forever. Will Kevin and Winnie ace that math test? Now I'll find out. Season 3 of The Wonder
Years.
What's
up with that? Why...
Why are they parsing out the Wonder Years so stingily?
It's really odd.
Just give us all the Wonder Years.
Just give us the goddamn Wonder Years.
We're just waiting with bated breath. Why are you torturing us so? Ray Donovan. Hey, then yes. Here's a box set for your viewing pleasure. Season 2 available on DVD. Major Crimes. Season 3.
What?
Season 3 of Major Crimes.
Is that a are you still in TV shows?
Yes.
What
Season
was that?
3 of Major Crimes.
What show was that?
He was he's a superhero who fights crime in a costume. Looks like a major. I'm Major Crimes and
you don't know, do you?
I have no idea what this is.
All right, apparently it is a show.
Stop it.
It is a show that is on TNT. It's a spin-off of The Closer.
The Closer?
The closer.
I don't know.
The Closer. Yes. The Closer is about a person who invades your personal
way
space
too
all
close.
The time. Every time you're
back
in the
off.
Office, she comes over and she just stands right behind you. Hey, the Closer.
Stop it.
Could you be the further?
It stars Mary McDonnell, who played Captain Sharon Raydor on The Closer.
Sure. None of what you're saying is accurate.
Sharon Raydor.
But you liked The Closer, Kevin. That was one of your shows, wasn't it?
I liked it.
As much as The Closer.
Not as The Closer, though.
That was the one.
That's my favorite.
The Nanny, the complete series. Finally,
Stop
all of The
it.
Nanny
What's happening?
Is in one box set. So you can just mainstream Drescher. You can just shoot Drescher right into your veins.
Mainline?
Mainline. What did I say? Mainstream?
Mainstream.
Well, The Closer told me that. movies on DVD. Seventh Son with Jeff Bridges. Oh, that looks awful.
I heard that was terrible.
And The Loft.
Carl
Urban, James Marsden, Rhona Mitra. I love Rhona Mitra.
Yeah, me too. And we had What's-His-Face in from that movie, remember?
Yeah, What's-His-Face.
Oh, this is the thing.
Yeah, this is the one where they killed the
Eric
dude,
Stone
right?
Street.
Yes, Eric Stone
yes.
Street.
It's about the husbands who share the apartment so they can bone.
That's right.
So they can bone.
Now I remember that. I wanted to see that, and now it's available on DVD.
There you go.
This is a great day for me. I get to see a movie I forgot I wanted to see.
Plus The Closer.
And The Closer. The spinoff of The Closer.
Why do they share the apartment, though?
Ben. Today's celebrity birthdays. Scott Disick celebrating his birthday today.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, I hope he has a cocktail to celebrate his birthday.
He's sock mogul?
Sock. No, that was Rob.
Oh, shoot.
Rob Kardashian was the sock mogul.
Shoot.
Disick is he's
a drinker.
He's the drinker. Yeah, so that's his profession, I think.
You know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
What?
Didn't even get to Hank Williams Jr. yet.
He was referring to the Disick and the Kardashians in general.
Continue, please.
As you were.
I'm confused now. Matt Stone, co-creator of South Park, along with his buddy Trey Parker. He is 44 years old today. You know, Matt and Trey, those names are very similar. I wonder if anyone ever gets them confused.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's this is like Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
Actress,
come on.
Actress Helena Bonham Carter is 49 years old. Lenny Kravitz turns 51. Our buddy Bobcat Goldthwait celebrates his 53rd birthday. Happy birthday, Bobcat. Stevie Nicks, of course, from Fleetwood Mac and her own very popular solo career. And that cauldron that she makes all those potions in with Ivan Newt. Remember that?
That's true.
She's 67 years old. And country music legend Hank Williams Jr.
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
He is 66 years old today. I'm going to get him an abacus for his birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ken Lund from Los Angeles just won his tickets to join us this Thursday night at the Roxy to see U2. We're doing something new today. If you want to go see U2, we've got tickets for you every half hour all day long today up until 9 o'clock tonight. So your next chance to win is coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Did everyone feel like they got their money's worth from the UFC on Saturday night? I sure did.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable night. Every fight was great on the card. And we were so happy for our friend Daniel Cormier, who is now, ladies and gentlemen, the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world. And he joins us back on Kevin and Bean right now. Hey, Daniel.
I can't even – it feels crazy when you even say it, man. It's unbelievable. It hasn't even really sunk in yet.
I was so rooting for you Saturday night. I was sitting there by myself going, yes, yes, look at it. He won the belt.
How cool was it that Rumble came up behind you? I didn't even think at the time you knew it was him that was putting the belt on you, Daniel.
Oh, man, it was amazing. You know, it showed what kind of guy that he is, you know, that even at his darkest hour, he was able to put the belt and the importance of the fight ahead of even his feelings and kind of make it special. You know, he made my moment a little bit different than everybody else's whenever they won the championship, and I really appreciate him for that.
Totally. Well, let's talk about the fight. First of all, you got knocked down for the first time as a pro, right?
Yes. That wasn't a right hand, man. That was a right missile. That thing came so fast. I was like, holy smoke. And then when I fell, guys, like I jumped up really fast, and like I looked out the corner of my eyes, and I was like, oh, my goodness, he's coming after me. So now I'm just basically running away from the guy. Dude, you know?
Now, were you – how much can you think in that second? Like, were you scared, oh, no, I'm not going to recover from this? Or is it just instinct?
You know what, man? It's pretty much instinct, but I wasn't hurt as bad as it might have looked. Like, I was hurt. Like, it was a good shot, but I wasn't, like, fuzzy, you know? Like, you know how sometimes guys talk about when they get hurt, they're really fuzzy and
right.
You see the person in front of them? I wasn't really fuzzy. I was just, like, I was hurt a little bit. So I had fallen, and when I popped up, I saw him chasing after me. I was like, okay, well, I can't allow him to get the follow-up shot because that's the one that normally puts the guys out. It's not the one that gets you initially. It's the one that follows it. And I was like, I cannot allow him to hit me with that next shot because that's whenever you start to have trouble recovering.
Yeah. Now, was your plan all along to make it a ground game, DC?
You know what? I just want to grind on him. You know, it didn't have to be on the ground. It could have been up against the side of the octagon. It could have been against the cage. I needed to just make sure that he was carrying my body for as long as the fight went on. You know, I we're good at AKA with positions, and I figured if I can make him carry me with all that muscle that he carries, it would be difficult for him to have oxygen passing through it. You know, it's hard for that oxygen to pass through all that muscle, you know, so you get all these big, massive guys, and they wear it out. So I was like, let me just keep pushing on him, making him carry me, and let's see what happens as the fight
and
wears on.
By the way, that worked really well, but were you surprised when he came out for the second round how tired he already was?
You know what? You know what was surprising was that he always said that if somebody hits me, I want to hit him back.
and I kicked him in the second round, and the dude kicked me in the head twice. I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't kick this dude anymore. So then I actually grabbed him, and once I grabbed him and I was able to secure that takedown, then I was like, okay, this is my game. I knew that once I got him down, he would struggle with getting me off of him to start, but also once he would get me off of him, I was like, he's going to be tired.
How close were you to snapping his arm? Because as I was watching, I thought, okay, he's got to tap out. He's got to tap out. And then he'd somehow get out of it. But it looked like you were just seconds from snapping his arm.
You know what, man? It wasn't very close because I wasn't able to pull his arm behind his back. He was way too strong for me to actually just Kimura lock him or straight arm lock him. Well, so what I was trying to do is, if you noticed, I would hold his hand down with my right hand, mm-hmm. and I would go to punch him. And when he would move, I was hoping that he would shift his body towards me. Then I would relock the Kimura and put it behind his back. I have to put it behind his back in order to finish the Kimura. So right. It wasn't that close, actually. It looked a lot worse than it actually was.
It sure did.
But it wasn't in yet. But if I would have got it behind his back, I think that might have been the first time that I think I would have probably done it, actually.
Daniel, play-by-play, they were talking about how Rumble wasn't doing enough trying to hit you from below. But it still looked like he was hitting you a lot. Even when you were on top of him, he was still getting a bunch of punches off on you. I mean, were they connecting and did it hurt?
They were hitting me, but that's not so bad. When you're on your back, you can't generate the type of power that he generates on his feet. So
okay.
It wasn't so bad when he was hitting me from the bottom. If I was him, I probably would have focused more on trying to get up than actually doing the punches on the bottom. But he was struggling, man. I mean, he was under me, and I could feel him just gasping for air every time. Like,
well, he was under you so much, I think the fight was banned in Indiana. I don't even think we were allowed to look at it in Indiana. And I'm glad you brought up the struggling for air, because I wanted to ask you about something else, DC, that I don't think I've noticed before. At one point, you took your big paw and just put it on top of his face like you were trying to stop him from being able to breathe through his nose and through his mouth. Did you do that, and is that legal?
It's legal. I did it. I do it all the time.
It is legal, and he did it.
I did. Yes, I did. I openly admit I did. I covered his face with my hand because I saw that he was already having trouble breathing, so why give him a clear passage to get air? I just tried to cover it and make him actually have to go, like, breathe through my glove. Long as you're not squeezing their face, I think I think it's legal. They didn't tell me anything. So
No, they didn't. Nobody said anything, so I would think you would know.
They didn't run over and slap my hand or anything, so I was like, I guess I can put my hand over Anthony's face.
So take me back to what was going through your head at the beginning of round three. You knew how close you were to winning that. I mean, I imagine it's tough to stay calm, stay cool, stick with the game plan, because you knew you were almost there, right?
You know what the crazy thing was, is I didn't know how bad off he was at the end of the second, because I got up and walked back to the corner, and my coach started going insane, like, he's ready to roll over, and I was like, didn't feel like it to me. I felt like he was still trying to punch me. But then when I watched the fight back, I realized he laid down for 5 seconds after I already left. So I was like, man, if I would have saw that, I would have just ran after him. Like, I would have just charged out of the corner and ran after him. But you know what? I was like, okay, now this is going my way. I've got his timing. I'm starting to wear him down. I can sense that he's exhausted. I'm like, you know what, man? Just don't get hit with anything clean, and you'll be fine. Because even if we have to go 3 more rounds, he's much more tired than you are. You'll be able to push a better pace than him. And Daniel, dude, you're about to actually win this championship. It was unbelievable. Like, all these thoughts are going through my head, and I'm trying to just stay on task. And I'm like, just stay on task, dude, just stay on task. And we knew, guys, that if we could get Anthony to start trying to take me down, then he was desperate.
Right.
And when he did that in the third round, I was like, okay, we got him. And then I think when he did get the takedown, he was looking to rest a little bit, and I popped right back up, and I think that's what pretty much broke him and ended the fight.
DC, immediately following you getting the belt, you called out John Jones. Now, you're 36.
Yeah.
You don't know, and I don't. No one knows, I imagine, how long this legal trouble for John Jones is going to go on. How long will you wait?
You know what? I'm going to be here for a while, man. I'm not ready to go yet. You know, I still enjoy the fights. I enjoy getting ready for the fight a little bit. I enjoy the money from the fights. I enjoy competition, you know, so I'll be here for a while.
I can't imagine it takes, you know, I mean, I'm not going to retire by the time I'm 37, and I can't imagine it would take, even if it took 18 months, you know, it still put me in the middle of 37, so I'd still be around here fighting. So I guess I'll hopefully get to fight again and defend this championship before Jones comes back, and I think I will.
Will it be Ryan Bader?
It's going to be Ryan Bader. Ryan Bader has to get...
I'm sorry, it's going to be Ryan Bader because why?
Because he's an idiot. Okay. It's going to be Bader.
Okay.
That fight almost happened at the press conference Saturday night.
Yeah, what was Bader doing? Like, come on, Bader, give me my moment.
Stealing your thunder is what he was doing.
Can you believe that? Like, I mean, Ryan Bader's generally a pretty nice guy, you know, but he just came up and...
That was really more of a Conor McGregor move, wasn't it?
Yeah, Conor McGregor Conor's actually starting to show these guys how to put themselves in the fight. I mean, really, Ryan Bader would have never done anything like that. But Ryan Bader went from a guy that, I'm surprised you guys even know his name. Nobody talks about Ryan Bader ever. Mm-hmm. To a guy that on Monday morning, everybody's like, oh my goodness, did you see what Ryan Bader did? And I'm like, oh my, it worked. I was like, Ryan Bader, you son of a gun, it worked.
Daniel, how long you been dreaming about waking up as the UFC champion?
Man, a long time. Because I didn't know what this career held for me. You know, like when I started after wrestling, I didn't know what was in store. I would drive 45 minutes from Stillwater, Oklahoma to Tulsa to box. And I was like, I don't know what this is going to turn into, but to fight in the UFC would be great. To fight at the MGM, be the champion would be amazing. I didn't know if it was possible. But now it happens. And not only the UFC championship, man, I'm literally right now in my kitchen taking pictures of championships I've actually gotten in fighting because I'm like, man, Selena's like, we've done pretty well, dude. I'm like, yeah, because I'm looking at the Strikeforce championship, UFC championship. I've pretty much won the two biggest organizations championships that they've had in mixed martial arts for a long time. So
it's funny to hear you talk. Well, like that, because leading up to the fight, you did a lot of I failed and got knocked down a bunch, but I keep getting up. And now it's nice to hear you say, "Hey, I also accomplished a lot."
You know what happened, Kevin? Man, I was actually, after I left the show last week, I talked to my coach John Smith at Oklahoma State, and this was Tuesday. And I said, "Coach, I said, man, I've got to win this one. Like, this is it. I've got to win this one." He goes, "Daniel, you don't have to do anything." He goes, "You want to win." He goes, "You don't have to win this fight." He goes, "All the things that you've done in your life coming from Louisiana," he goes, "you're fine." He goes, "You're fine." He said, "Don't put any pressure on yourself." And for some reason, just hearing that from a guy that I've idolized for so long, it gave me this calm and the ability to actually look at things from a broader perspective. And now I'm just like, man, for a guy that started this only 5 years, I've done pretty good.
Life is good for Daniel Cormier.
Yep, sure is. Well, we could not have been happier for you, man. We were all pulling for you, and we're so happy, and congratulations. And I bet if anyone runs into you in the next 6 months walking around San Jose, you're going to be wearing that belt.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Yes, I will be wearing that belt. I love it. It's a champion's belt.
All right, DC, you're the best. We'll talk to you later, champ.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me so much. Bye-bye.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41. Congratulations to Pam Chavez from Highland. Just got to take a see you two at the Roxy, which we're doing every 30 minutes today from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Dude, it's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty good deal.
That's a lot of tickets. Of course, you can't buy them. You can only win them here at K-Rock. That'll be Thursday night at the Roxy, so tickets between now and then. Ralph is here now. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Mr. Kramer?
It is Tuesday, but we're still going to take a look at the weekend's box office because we all had the day off yesterday. Tomorrowland with George Clooney, number one, with $41.7 million this weekend.
Anyone see that, by the way?
I have not had a chance.
Wanted to, but I hadn't seen Mad Max yet, so I had to get that one in.
I didn't have a chance to see any movies.
Busy weekend for you.
You're being a daddy.
We don't count Frozen. Saw that. Saw that over the weekend.
Now, Tomorrowland is sort of for kids, but not quite as young as Olivia, I think.
Yeah,
right?
It's not for 5-year-olds. So she's looking very much forward to Inside Out.
Okay. Oh, that looks great.
Which is the new Pixar, I believe.
I think it is.
It is Amy Poehler and Lewis Black. And
is it animation?
It's animation. It's
about, you're not going to see it, Bean.
I know, but it still looks great.
It's about the emotions and the feelings of a young girl and what goes on inside her head.
Oh, no wonder.
That's why Bean might actually go to see it, because it's something that speaks to him. Taylor Swift's words speak to me. Said it just looks, man who lives on an island.
Yeah, it looks really good. That's
it looks
all
really good and looks really entertaining, and she just is, she's champing at the bit.
Ooh, to, check you out.
To see that film.
So she's pretty happy.
Don't put your nonsense on his daughter.
Okay.
Please. Chris Hansen's going to show up at your door.
That isn't what I meant.
$41.7 million Tomorrowland made it number one this week. And Pitch Perfect 2, $38.5 million, was second. Not far behind Tomorrowland. Mad Max Fury Road that Kevin went to see, $32.1 million. Avengers Age of Ultron was fourth. And then Poltergeist came in at number five. Hot Pursuit, sixth. Far from the madding crowd. I've been mispronouncing it all morning long. I've been saying maddening crowd. But it's not that. It's far from the madding crowd.
Yeah, I don't understand that either, by the way.
I don't either, but I've been corrected.
Many times, I'm
many
guessing.
Many times. So there you go. Furious 7, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2 was ninth, and then Home rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
Kevin, how many louds do you give Mad Max?
All louds.
Really?
Loved it.
Kevin Smith and I discussed it at Hollywood Babylon this weekend, and I had not a chance to see it, and he had. And he said that he saw it and then went with a friend to see Avengers Age of Ultron again after the fact. And he said it's hard to see any other action film after Mad Max because it's all done real time with real stuntmen, and it's all practical effects, and this all happened on screen.
It's crazy good.
So when you see that and the spectacle that is that film, and then you see something else that's largely CGI, it's just you really see the difference, how it pales.
Interesting, because Avengers is really well done.
Yes, absolutely. But as Kevin said, after Mad Max,
yeah,
it looks like a really pretty video game versus what they do in Mad Max, which is genuinely thrilling, he said, because you can tell that these are real people going through these actual stunts, which I thought was kind of an interesting insight.
Kevin, how did you describe it?
I described it as dirt du soleil.
Dirt du soleil. Wow. Look at you.
Because it's in the dirt.
You're a wordsmith.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you for noticing.
You're a poet.
Well said, Kevin.
Were you asking just because you thought I wouldn't be able to say it? That's what I thought.
It's Cirque du Soleil. That's Kevin was trying to say Cirque du Soleil. See, that's the cute part.
It's like words are your second language, sir.
They are. And Mira, sadly, passed away over the weekend. You may not know the name, but you certainly know her work. She's on a ton of shows. She was in Fame, the movie, and Rhoda, Archie Bunker's play, Sex and the City. She was also the mom of Ben Stiller, of course, and her husband Jerry Stiller. She and he had a very successful comedy team called Stiller and Mira back in the day. Just brilliantly funny sketch comedians, wrote their own stuff, really funny people. No surprise Ben Stiller is funny coming from that family. She passed away at the age of 85 this week.
She's a whore!
Hey, whoa now. Chris Brown's having some serious baby mama drama. Multiple sources are saying that he quit paying Nia Guzman the $2,500 per month that is due her to support their little daughter, Royalty.
Yes.
As of last March, because she was demanding that he pony up a cool $15,000 instead. So instead of giving her a raise, he's giving her nothing now.
He seems like a good dude.
He is. He's a good man, and yeah. I'm sure he'll do the right thing eventually because that's the kind of guy he...
Very woman-friendly, too, Chris Brown. Yes, one thing we've learned about him.
Well, the ladies love him. How can you resist? He's got so much going on. Bean's girlfriend Taylor Swift is in the news. Apparently, this bad blood video that she shot all the...
She's a bitch.
All the costuming, and that came from a fetish boutique here in Los Angeles called The Stock Room. Once news broke about the fact that they provided all the clothing that was worn in the video, much of the clothing worn in the video, including Taylor Swift stuff, they were inundated with phone calls, specifically from men, they say, asking to buy the items that Taylor had worn.
What even? God!
Right? In hopes that, I don't know, to get some Swift sweat, I guess. Mm.
Did any of them sound like,
hey, is this the stock room? I have a strongly worded letter to write you about leather goods.
Guys, I have uses for DNA. That's all I'm suggesting. Oh, right? Built a laboratory now, and one day I'm going to make it happen.
I'm running out of time, Russ. I would really say some spectacular things.
We have 58 seconds left. We have to be done with this show.
All right, I'm done. Good, fine, whatever. Boom. There.
No birthdays here?
No. Okay. I don't have time for that.
All right. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean.
I have no time for that.
We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Real King, Fake King. We have comedian Jay Moore in the studio. We've got your tickets to see you two at The Roxy tomorrow morning.